Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
I was wearing a Mets t-shirt.
Okay.
Shock.
Yeah, that's weird. That's very weird.
And like pants. I wore pants.
Hat on or hatless?
I had the hat on.
Okay.
Yeah. And
the uniform on. He had to let everybody know he was on the team. I'm here to play, guys. I'm here to play.
It's field day. Field day.
Line up. Line up. Size order, though.
Man, I'm always in the back now. So, funny thing is,
she's American.
Okay.
When I was young, I wasn't really very like, you know, I was kind of socially awkward.
Not loved. I was kind of not loved enough.
I'm sure I'll die before my mother does.
Plausible. Probable.
Even probable, yeah. Some might say.
It's sad. You ever hear him sometimes when he's talking to the
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in Show.
Welcome!
Do that. Why do you make that silly sound? Because it's Best in Show! BestinShowRadio.com here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Oh, it feels like almost orgasmic inside to have it back. Even if only for a second. It feels fantastic. Want to be a part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, a place to be. I'm going to be hanging out with you for at least, I'd say, 2 hours and 47 minutes tonight, maybe a little bit longer. We'll see what happens. My name's Chris. As I look across the table, I see my friend, my lover, my partner, my everything, and I think he's going to be here with me the entire time, too. It's Brown.
Oh, I got bumped up. Finally. I made the cut. I feel like I'm fresh.
For 89, you suckers.
I prefer 88. That's just me.
That's why you get knocked down, because you were there, you had your moment, you said.
Well, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
Wrapped up like a douche. Look who it is. He's sitting here. He's hanging out. He's a party man. He's a member of everything. He's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's Fred.
What's up, guys?
Hanging out. Wow, it's really nice what you do with your hair there. It's attractive.
My glowing locks. I need a haircut real bad. The hair's getting in my eyes, and it's annoying me.
I think it's kind of nice, though. You look kind of like you're in some sort of band that's really angry about something, or is fashionable this week, and you should be wearing some sort of like a Sergeant Pepper's outfit at the same time. Like, you're in one of those, like,
Is it too hippie?
It's not hippie. It's like hip.
Too mod.
Yeah, it's cool. It's real cool.
No, it's I not. This is not a
I
cool
I think you're
hair.
Like goth punk cool.
You look like the kid on Spider-Man after he's wearing the black suit when he's walking down the street feeling confident.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
I would at the very least describe you as being like, you know, like fashion forward. Like you're there. You're there.
My hairstyle? You think
Absolutely.
This hairstyle is fashion forward?
Yeah, like unmade bed, fashion forward. Same thing.
It's
same
the
thing.
Wet look.
Awesome. And look who's there. He's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. He's our executive producer. It's Robert.
What's going on, fellas?
Hanging.
And whatnot. I'm so happy that I have tomorrow off.
What do you mean? Why? What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's the day.
What do you mean?
Getting the caravan for my wife.
Oh, you sissy.
So you have to take off?
Wait,
national holiday?
Your big cool thing was that you were going to get like a totally unmacho vehicle tomorrow?
Well, I already have one. I'm getting a newer unmacho vehicle. Lease goes back and we're financing one.
Tomorrow's the big day. I'm getting an economically priced vehicle. It's good for me and my family. Thank you.
Somebody couldn't drive your wife
Falls
there?
Out,
she,
bro.
She couldn't get it on her own? You have to take a day off for that?
Yeah, well, you know, isn't it like a guy thing to, you know...
To buy a sissy vehicle? to get to the dealership and get yourself the most emasculating vehicle possible? Of course, the bros.
Sorry, it's not a big van like you got.
No,
at least mine has a radiator in it.
What does that mean? I apologize, copyright Chris 2007, that my vehicle isn't good. I'm just saying, you make it seem like it's like, yeah, it's a guy thing to do. Like you're getting a soccer van. You know?
Excuse me, does this minivan come in pink?
Pink is definitely macho.
I want 10 car seats. I want a child seat to fit me. I want to sit in a child seat up front.
Speaking of macho and pink and all that, look, Fred, could you introduce your friend? I don't know who this guy is that's sitting next to you. He's going to be sitting in with us for the evening. Who's that?
This guy is the newly shaved Keith.
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice. Congratulations, buddy.
Hey, guys, thanks for letting me sit in on your show.
That's why I didn't realize. That's why I didn't introduce you at the beginning, because I didn't recognize you.
Hey, no, that's cool. That's cool.
I'll be 100% honest. Sitting here for 20 minutes having conversations about Chinese food and everything didn't even dawn on me that you shaved.
You thought it was Billy Corgan, our guest?
That's exactly what I thought it was. I thought that had happened. Well, welcome. Welcome, buddy.
I guess after 2 months out of the last... 15 years of having a shaved head, it just probably falls right back into place, you know.
I guess it didn't.
Oh, it looked weird when I shaved it. It looked really weird.
I think you look weird now. I really miss that, like.
And this is my face.
Oh yeah, that's probably it. I like that whole little I don't know what you call it. Stupid ugly haircut that you had.
I have a box of Born to Blonde or something like that at home. So
I'm blonde to be born.
He's got a beard on his skull.
Where'd you cut it? The hair in the bathroom?
No, I don't have an outlet in the bathroom. I had to do it in the living room in the mirror.
In the forest. In the forest across the street.
I actually was going to save the hair and give it to Chris because I knew he wanted it so bad.
Well, that was going
to
be my
next
question.
Honestly, it was just the oddest like blonde black mixture in the little bag, and I was like, you know, forget it.
It's horrible. I bet you it looked like cat hair.
Yeah, like it was like a calico cat. Like you shaved a calico cat.
Like a bag of cat hair.
I wish, because from when I shaved my head on the show, what was that got to be, like 2 months ago, give or take, something like that? I still have that shoebox filled with hair sitting out in the aforementioned van with the broken radiator in my driveway. I have that hair there. And it's going to be here just in case. Whenever the time is ready and we need it for something, I have a box of hair, a shoebox filled with old hair just in case.
Well, Keith, you didn't donate your hair to the cat cancer hair fund?
Cat cancer?
That they do? Like
they found out it causes more.
Oh,
yeah, no, you have to have like a foot. You have to have like 12 inches of hair before you could donate it for something.
Those harsh, terrible chemicals that they tell you not to get in your eyes aren't good for cats.
I couldn't imagine that exactly the blonde would work either. Oh, it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, a place to be. If you guys didn't know, tell a friend. Pass the word along. Do what you can. Make everything great.
Are you saying, wait, I have to take a step back here. Are you suggesting that they only accept blonde hair for the cancer kids? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm suggesting that they probably wouldn't take chemically processed hair that's an inch long for cancer kids.
Okay. I wonder if they drug test that hair, too. Like if, like, you know.
What difference would that make? It's not like you could get it.
It's true, but, you know, maybe the hair is healthier. It stays.
Rub your hair against my face. See if I get high. Because that's not going to happen. That's crazy talk.
The hair might not take. As long, you know what I mean? It might not be...
They make wigs out of it, you maniac! They don't give you hair transplants!
No, I know they make wigs out of it, but I'm saying the wig might not last as long if a drug addict gave his or her hair away.
I don't believe that a drug addict's hair is any weaker than a regulation person. than a real person.
Wait, what do you mean weaker? What do you?
I don't know.
Brittle. It's a little more brittle. His hair. Oh, he's drug addled. His hair must be broken up.
I think after 55 years of drug use, it is because the person's like 70.
I think they test it, and the drug addicts do Merkin wigs. That's what they do.
I don't even understand what that meant. Was that in English?
That wasn't words.
The Merkin girl.
You don't know what a Merkin is?
No.
Merkin is a pubic wig.
What?
It's a pubic wig that prostitutes back in the early 1900s used to, if they got syphilis or lice, they used to shave their pubic hair and then put a Merkin on? Put a Merkin on because hair was the popular thing. Wow. You got to look it up online.
Does that really exist still?
Yeah, Merkin.
Let's go Merkin shopping. Please, can we go Merkin shopping?
How does one wear a Merkin?
I guess you shave the pubes and you got to get a...
Like spirit gum.
And you put spirit gum on. Like a real tattoo. I mean, a real toupee or something like that. I can't believe you never heard of a Merkin.
I want to go get a Merkin so bad.
The Merkin Marines bring those in on their boats.
Exactly.
Can we put one on your head, Keith?
A Merkin?
Are they expensive?
I don't know.
You're the Merkin expert, bro, because you're the only person who's ever heard of it. Hold on. Let's just ask the expert of everything here on the show. Brian, did you know what a Merkin was before you said this?
This is the first time I'm hearing about
Merkins.
That
doesn't exist. This is made up fantasy talk.
They do exist. I'm sure they go for as much as thousands of dollars, but I'm sure you get a nice one for $20,
$15.
Yeah, maybe around that area.
They certainly do exist. Merkin. And MerkinWorld.com has a good amount of pictures of them.
That one's pink.
It's not pink. It's not pink.
It's the
Union Jack. It's in the shape and color of a British flag.
Oh man!
So but it's red. Hair, but it's like hair and like dyed.
I'm ready. I'm buying a Merkin. I'm going Merkin shopping.
Wow, 150 pounds. Isn't that like $8,000 right now?
No, that's how much it weighs.
That's really heavy, man. How are you going to put that thing on? It's going to weigh your whole business down. I'm telling you, Fridays at my job are usually Risk tournament day. Tomorrow's going to be Merkin shopping day instead. I'm going to refuse to play Risk. I am only going to be looking into Merkins
tomorrow.
Where
does the Merkin word come from? It sounds like a poor man's Smurf. Like, where does Merkin come from? See, I want to know where that
whole mercantile industry confuses me.
I thought Merkins were like the little things that you get, like the little pickles that you eat with a sandwich. I'd love a Merkin.
No, it's a song they sing as they pick a Merkin, Merkin, Merkin. Keep those pubes, Merkin.
Merk, Greek for gross. That's where it comes from. I'll tell you, these things are outrageous. And you could get big 70s, like bushes, like that go to your thigh.
I am going off.
A retro Merk.
Yeah, a retro Merk.
Afro Merk. I want an Afro Merk.
I am definitely going to look to get a collection of different Merkins. I'm gonna, like, you know, different days. I at least want to have 7 so I can wear a different one each day.
Get a display case in your house and display them.
Oh, my God. I collect vintage Merkins.
Vintage. Used. Slightly used Merkins.
This was one used by a 1910 charlatan in France. The smell is still on her. Open it up.
Oh, my God. Ah, bouquet. Excellent bouquet on this Merkin. This truly is a vintage. You can still smell the spirit gum. Mm. The spirit gum smell like something?
It's a little alcohol-y smell.
A little like a Merkin?
Once the lice or whatever little bugs got back in, did they have to get rid of the Merkin then? Or could they like de-louse the Merkin?
Well, I think if the bugs got back into the hair, I'm sure you just get another wig. You throw the wig at new Merkin, you know?
De-louse the Merkin.
As much as I want a vintage Merkin, I want to make sure that it's clean. I'd like it to be deloused before I have it.
But it was okay if it was worn?
Oh, I would insist that it would be. I mean, I don't want to take a Merkin. I'm not going to go get a Merkin that's not broken in. I want it to be used and properly, like, road tested. Road ready.
What if you throw it in the washer and it shrinks up on you? Then what do you do? Exactly. You got a shrunken
Merkin. Oh, yeah. We're getting pre-shrunk. Pre-shrunk, obviously.
Little known fact, Jack the Ripper, all he was a Merkin thief.
Oh, man, that's all he was trying to do. He was just trying to – thief or just a connoisseur. Maybe he was just trying to get a couple.
Now, if
the Merkin black market, he was trading them on.
Chris, if you got a Merkin from a woman, this woman would have to be semi-attractive, or you would take it from any pig off the street?
What do you mean? I'm looking for a hairstyle for my genital region.
Was there an attractive prostitute in, like, 1900?
I'm sure there was a couple.
Why wouldn't there be? I've seen Pretty Woman. That was based in 1900, right?
Oh, wait. 1900 something.
Yeah, she was kind of horse-faced and weird, though. So. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't Rosario Dawson. That was someone else. Oh, come on. What? What'd I say?
I thought we agreed to move past that.
What? I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm in live.
I thought when she did a...
Can't get it fast enough.
I thought when she did a promo for a show she never listened to and never would, we decided we would move past that.
Wait, who? Julia Roberts did something for our show? I wasn't aware. I'm only up to the B's by the time I get to R's. So it's going to be so not timely to even play it anymore.
Just throw it in like a half an hour from now. Just
guys, speaking of Rosario. I just saw a movie with Rosario Dawson called Killshot.
What's that?
It's a movie with like Mickey Rourke. It was an Elmore and Leonard novel they made a movie out of. It was from earlier this year. It was like Mickey Rourke and Rosario Dawson, and I can't remember who else was in it. Some guy that was like, I can't remember his name, though. He was the Punisher or something.
Rain Pryor?
Yes, exactly. Talk about ugly. See, I think Rain Pryor is what the 1900 prostitutes
best
look
in like. Show, Rosario Dawson, loving it live.
Oh, that's right.
That's smooth. It was timely.
All right, back to Merkins.
Was she wearing a Merkin in that movie, I hope?
Probably.
You should collect them, Chris. I think that's an odd little thing for a dude to collect.
Yeah, screw the watches. Screw the watches. Have at least seven Merkins you could like wear. Your Tuesday Merkin.
Yeah, I think I should collect them, and I like the idea of putting them in a case, or maybe in a carrying case. Maybe I carry a valise with me that I open up and show off my Merkins to people.
Do you think that they're different for men and women? Or do you have like do they fit on the general sort of
don't
location?
Don't be disgusting. It's not like a woman's gonna have sideburns on her Merkin like a man. Come on, don't be ridiculous.
And I think they come in different like lengths of the pubic bone. You know what I mean? They'll come in different widths. I'm sure. But would you ever use them? Would you ever use them in your sex life? Be like, hey, put on the lightning bolt one today. You know what I mean?
How is it being used in your sex life? It's just like that's like you know, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just wear it around the house.
It's like almost like a new woman. Like you're instead of your woman putting on a wig, she puts on a different Merkin. You're looking down there anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't want my lady to wear a Merkin by any means.
Really?
No way.
Even if it's new?
It's disgusting.
If it's new.
Hair? Hair in the new is disgusting.
You know what? I don't think the Merkins are real hair. Maybe they might not be real hair. Who knows?
Horse hair. I'd like it made out of Brillo. I'd like a Brillo Merkin. That's what I'm going to go for.
Well, definitely look it up. And if you come across the one, let me know.
I'll look into it tomorrow and I'll check it out. I'll be sure to do it. If any of you want to go Merkin shopping, please, by all means, contact me. Contact me at 877-744-6405 or on Instant Messenger. Best in Show Chris. My friend Keith, you can get him at Best in Show Keith. My friend Brian, you can get him at Best in Show Brian. You know Rob, you can get him at Best in Show Rob. My friend Fred, Best in Show Fred. My friend Vanessa, Best in Show Vanessa, I think. I don't know. It's all great. Whatever. Just contact us. Do something.
Go to MerkinWorld.com.
Best in Show News.
Oh, sorry. Best in Show News Anchor at zombie.org. It's a great thing. It's a great little thing. As long as we talk about great little new things that we've discovered, I guess I should break up the monotony of all this silliness and talk about something that's just even stupider. As you guys may or may not have noticed, I've lost a little bit of weight. I lost a little bit of weight over the past few
Where'd
months.
Where'd you put it?
That was my fake laugh. Did it work? Did it work? I just went, right. That was supposed to be a fake laugh.
It was a fake joke.
It's true. So I laid I've lost a bunch of weight, and as I'm laying in bed the other night, I'm noticing that different parts of my body are a little bit more prominent than they were in the past.
Congratulations.
And as I'm looking at you know, with my shirt off as I lie in bed the other night, I noticed
you finally saw it after 5 years.
Oh no! I haven't lost that much weight yet. I haven't gotten to that point yet. But as I looked down at my chest, I noticed for the first time in my life that the base of my sternum has a tremendous, gigantic lump on it.
Which your sternum, like in the middle
your
of
your breastbone, the little thing in the middle of your chest where your ribs connect to,
uh-huh.
It has a little lump at the end of it. I was like, wow, that's so weird. I've never even noticed that before. And as I examined it a little bit further, I noticed that it's not symmetrical, and it's kind of like a soft, weird lump at the base of my sternum.
Is it discolored?
It is not really discolored. The skin is a little bit discolored. It's not, when I say a lump, it's not like a mole. It's underneath the skin.
All right.
This lump that I have here, and the skin is a little bit discolored as a result.
It's like Keith's wrist bump?
Let me see. No. It's probably about the size of a golf ball.
Ooh.
It's the size of a golf ball, and it's underneath my chest. I just assumed that I never really understood my physiology all that well. And then I studied a little bit about it, and it's not part of my sternum. So
how long has this been there?
I discovered it 2 days ago. I don't know how long it's been there. I only just noticed it because I lost a bunch of weight.
Could that be the hernia that you may have ignored last time?
No. My hernia is substantially – it's literally at the base of my sternum. I'll be more than happy to show you guys later and you could feel it. It doesn't hurt at all.
Do you have problems breathing?
Nope. I'm okay. It's still working.
Blood coming out of any odd places?
That's weird.
It's like an English muffin?
Keith was suggesting maybe it's a sternum goiter. I don't know, but that could be what it is. I don't know. I don't know.
I was serious about the blood, coughing up blood.
No, nothing of the sort. No, my lungs are fine, I think, ish.
Do you think your nubbin moved from your wrist to your sternum?
It could be. My scamp or scump or whatever the hell it was.
What? Were you reading through Grey's Anatomy at home and tried to figure out what your sternum?
I literally looked down at my chest. And since my stomach has gone down so much, instead of there being a mountain at the end there, it goes down at the end of my ribs now. And instead of going down, there's a lump right in the middle there.
You're going to get it checked out?
I have an appointment scheduled for next Wednesday. So next Thursday's show, I'll be able to tell you guys. Or maybe I'll be in surgery for all I know. I have no idea.
Does it move around? When you push it, because it doesn't move to the left or to the right at all?
A little bit. Not very much.
Is it hard, like a muscle? Is it maybe...
It's hard-ish.
Maybe it's a muscle. You're finally seeing the muscles in your stomach.
I think it's a bone. No, it's not my stomach.
The muscles of your stomach start right below the solar plexus.
It's above where my diaphragm would be. It's literally at the base of my sternum. My ribs are to the right and left of it still. I'm telling you, it could just be like a little weird cartilage thing. I don't know. Or a tapeworm, as Mr. D is suggesting in the chat. It might be a tapeworm. I don't know.
Or a village of them.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And when you find something on your body like that, you just immediately think of the worst thing, right?
We'll just say that my therapy session yesterday revolved all around the fact that I'm probably going to be dying soon, obviously, as a result of the fact that I have a bruise on my chest.
Did your therapist look at it?
No, of course not. He's not a medical practitioner.
No, but I mean, you were talking about it. You would think I don't want to look at it. But you would think if you're going to have a conversation with a human being about it and they're going to offer you some sort of input, they'd want to see it.
No, he wasn't offering me any sort of input. He was listening to me talking about my mortality. And that's what I was kind of talking about. He has a medical degree. Yeah, I wasn't asking him to examine it.
You just asked him to remove it.
I have this pen here. Could you help me pop this thing out?
Say Jay could wait. Jay could wait. Give me 15 minutes out of his window.
And when somebody finds something like that, nobody thinks, all right, I'm going to get it checked out. It's nothing. You know, everyone thinks of the worst. Like, all right, I got a bump on me. I'm dying. It's cancerous.
I think it's nothing.
Really?
I'll tell you, I was convinced for the longest time that, that's just my sternum. I never noticed how big the bottom of my sternum is really before. You know, just because I've been fat for my entire – well, I don't want to say my entire life, but for a really long time, I've been a fat guy. I just never really noticed how big the bottom of my sternum was. And then I'm looking at him, it's like, but why is it not symmetrical? Like, why is it a little off to the side a little bit? Why is this thing here? And then I'm feeling it, and it's just like, yeah, this doesn't feel like something that people should have. This feels like a thing that shouldn't be in the center of someone's chest.
And who do you go just to a general practitioner?
I'm going to my regular doctor and see where he tells me to go to. No, Steve LaLarper, I am not going to have Keith remove it with nail clippers, and I'm certainly not going to let Fred remove it with nail clippers. That's just not going to happen.
But I was willing.
I appreciate it.
To be clear, it's a bump. Like you can feel as if it's something protruding from the rest of it. It's not just
Would you like to feel it?
I really don't want to feel
it. No, over the shirt. You wouldn't have to – you just feel like –
Stretch the shirt over it so I can see if there's a –
Yeah, I'm seeing it from here.
Really? I don't see it at all.
Give us a side view, Chris. Give us a side view.
I think Fred's exaggerating. I don't see it.
Are you kidding me?
Is it directly in the middle?
You're not humble. Can't you lift your shirt?
Lift your shirt up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that?
I can see it.
Wait, don't we all have that?
Yeah.
My point is, I thought that too. It's off center and down to the right a little.
Is it moving around?
A little bit.
Yeah, mine pops in and out. It's like, not pops, but it like moves.
Oh, so it's like a kneecap of some sort that's floating that I'm worrying about?
Yes, you have a kneecap in
my
your chest.
My kneecap is in my chest?
I could have a hiatal hernia.
I can't even touch that area without getting nauseous.
Well, the problem is I have issues with ribs. I have issues with rib touching. Like if they're delicious. But if my wife leans on my ribs or something, I'm freaking out. Hey, come on, seriously, get out of here. Seeing people F with their ribs really bothers me. Really bothers me crazy. So I always that's her way to get to me. It's she punches herself in the ribs to get me to stop. joining us on the House of All Lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Hey, it's Jay Miller.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
And so I got some advice for your chest.
Oh, what do you got for me?
maybe you should go to the doctor.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hold on, let me take notes here. Go to doctor. Duly noted. Duly noted. That's what I'm going to try doing. I'll try doing that. Yeah, I'm actually scheduled to go see the doctor next Wednesday.
Hey, could... speaking of doctors.
Oh, look at that segue. What's going on, buddy?
So last week, am I interrupting? Do you want me to call back?
No, that's quite all right. But by all means, let's talk.
Because last week we talked about that I left. Did we talk about this last time that I left a note for you?
Yeah, I think.
The time before.
I think we have mentioned that idea that yes, you did. For those who don't know what we're talking about, go to bestinshowradio.com, go to the recorded audio page, listen to some of our past shows, and learn about how Jay and I share a therapist, and we've been trying to send each other secret messages through our therapist's office that at times haven't been so secret. So, yeah.
Well, because this week I go in, and so last week what I did, I went in with a little note. Do you want to tell them what the note was, Chris?
Oh boy.
Yeah, so I went to my therapist session this week and didn't think much about it. And then at the end of the session, as we were done, I'm thinking, oh, wait, that's right. Jay said that he was going to leave me a note here. How can I discreetly check to see if there's a note here without anything? So I reached my hand down really quick and felt under the chair. And off to the left-hand side, I noticed something is sticking out there. And I'm like,
oh, no, right. Another lump.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, do I pull this off right now and rip off his furniture do not remove tag? Or is this actually the note that's meant for me?
Your seat springs up. It's an ejector,
exactly. No, so I picked it up. I grabbed it. And I pulled on it and stuffed it in my pocket, you know, discreetly. He wasn't able to tell that I did anything, as far as I know. And I left, and I went to the parking lot, and there was a little paper. It was a little paper cup, you know, that you get at water coolers. And so it was a little paper cup that was taped to the bottom of the chair and in pencil that said, Jack Swade, have a drink on me, ML. It was underneath the seat.
You guys got to stop doing that.
There's no you guys. I'm done. I'm not doing anything of the sort.
So he didn't know about it?
Absolutely not. I'm secretive. Dude.
Because on the way in... You know, the doctor says to me, I'm sorry, I can't see you anymore.
Oh, really?
And then he's like, and then he goes, I can't do it. He goes, I tried. I can't do it. And then I'm like, you can't do what? So, like, you and Chris are coming up with, like, plans to, like, freak me out? What's this about?
I'm telling you that I told him during the session when we mentioned anything about that. He mentioned during my session that you haven't quit, that you still keep trying to trip him up to try and get him to say something about what my sessions are about to him, and he mentioned I mentioned the fact that we were laughing about the fact that we thought we were going to get fired. That's it. I swear, no, he and I didn't come up with a plan. That's him all on his own. He had
really.
Yeah.
I thought you guys had a plan. I thought you guys were doing all sorts of fun stuff.
No, I just go to get therapy. I go to get therapy because I feel like I need help. That's all I'm doing.
I know. I spend too much time talking about you because our first 10 minutes of the show about the show.
You guys do a show together now?
That's how he really thinks of it as a show.
Jay and the Doc.
He's looking at a camera that's not there.
I thought you said Jay in the Dark. It's like that's perfect.
The first 10 minutes we spent listening to your show. Because apparently I gave him the wrong link, and so he was like, what's the right link? And he types it up, and then he's like looking for it and then listens to it, and I'm like, this is kind of weird, just like listening to it.
Yeah, I didn't know that you listened to the show. I did mention to him that I felt a little weird that you gave him the address of the show and that he might be listening, and he's like, yeah, he gave it to me, but it didn't get to it. I went to it, and it sent me to the movie. I'm just like, oh, he told you Best in Show. It's actually bestinshowradio.com.
Well, keep in mind, it was Jay who was there, so they only listened to the parts with Jay in it.
Yeah. Fast forward. I'm so great here. Listen.
Check this out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And what was his opinion of the show, Jay? Of the appearance.
He thought it was funny, but it was weird because we were both listening, kind of being like, oh, do I say something weird here? Like, I don't know if I say something offensive. So we're both kind of like nervous, you know?
Wait, so what exactly? I'm trying to think. What was it? Was it the I guess we did the pre-recorded thing, like making, you know, doing the talking about the call the week before. I guess is the only thing you could have listened to. I don't even know what you could have listened to.
Yes, oh. Yes, it was the recap intro.
Interesting. I didn't. Yeah, I was not aware of the fact that you guys listened to it. That's a little bit odd to me. And it's actually no. It's.
Well, we did it after. We did it after. You'll find out about that next week.
Oh, great. I also
threw the idea at him of you going in for 30 minutes, and then the two of us together for 15, and then just me for 30 minutes. And here's the good thing about that is I said the joint one would have to be under my insurance. He said that's no problem. And he said he'll bill us for three sessions. So everyone makes out on that one.
Wow, that really sounds terrific, except I have no interest in doing this. We're going to
work everything out.
Oh, okay, all right.
Between us.
It's weird. When I told my wife about this, I told her about the stuff that's going on, I showed her the note when I came home and all that stuff, she was like, don't you think it's a little bit weird that you and Jay share a therapist and you guys laugh about it and think it's good? And it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm laughing so much anymore. But it's fun.
We're laughing, man, on the inside.
Obviously.
That's what you got to find out.
Then maybe that's what
the
lump
is. I think that's the problem.
My lump is my laughter trying to get out. My laughter trying to get out.
Jay, Chris, he will be there.
Obviously.
He'll be at that session.
Listen, Chris, we got to make this work, you know?
I guess you know what? I guess I don't have my eyes. I'm resistant to this treatment. I got to see what I got to do. I got to try and work this out.
Get it situated, Jay. He'll be there.
Okay. I'll talk to my therapist.
On my end, everything's great. But the thing about the doc is now he thinks everything I'm doing is like some sort of trick or something. I thought he knew about the note. I was like, oh, you got the note? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, oh, okay.
Do you think that might have something to do with the fact that every moment that you're in the office, you're playing some sort of game instead of actually, you know, being there for therapy and talking about stuff? Like you're passing virtual notes with Chris. You're showing segments of radio shows.
For the record, you're passing notes to Chris, okay. Not with Chris. It's a little different.
Signing pieces of paper outside his office. You know,
once you accept that note, you're an accomplice.
Chris, please go there on Wednesday and bring a tape of Mid Evenings with Jay Miller with you and have him watch like 5 minutes, please.
Maybe I should
part with you on it.
Yeah,
I would love to show the.
That'll be the joint session.
I would love to show the part with me on it, but I would have to have a session about the fact that Jay never put that out. So I guess that'll.
The only reason why I wouldn't want you to give it to him because then I have a feeling my whole session all we would do is watch my show.
And that would bother you because too much attention being
paid? You know
paid,
what?
Or?
Yeah, surprisingly, I don't like to rewatch the shows that I did. I don't like watching them. I enjoy doing them, but I don't like watching them.
Are you cringe? Is it like you're not going to have a good reaction to it no matter what?
No. It's weird. When I used to play in my band, Monty Love, I used to hate playing the show and love watching it. But now I love doing it, but I don't want to like – I feel like I did it. Why do I need to watch it? I mean, you guys don't go back and listen to the show again, do you?
Absolutely. Every week I listen back to the show so I can criticize everyone for what they've done wrong.
Yeah, I do too, but I hate it. And I also hate doing the show.
I don't necessarily do it because I enjoy it. I do it almost as homework, trying to figure out what needs to be done to improve the show.
But do you think any artist really listens or reads or you know or watches his or her own work? I mean, you know,
did you listen to my voice?
Did you listen to Sandwich Songs? Like on the reel, you would put it in like
no.
I bet you Prince. I bet you Prince only listens to Prince songs.
Yeah. And Jay, you didn't listen to Monty Love. You didn't have that on your rotation on your iPod or anything, did you?
No, but our drummer does. Devo like listens to it like crazy. He still listens to. He sent me one gig of Monty Love music. Like a gig.
Do you think
a gig.
He's my producer? Do you think Do you think that's because he enjoys listening to it as much as it's just like, or is it like a nostalgia thing of wanting to be back there still doing it?
Oh, he has that. Yeah.
He's studying.
Yeah,
I don't know. He loves the band. I mean, every once in a while, I'll go back and listen to the music. I'll listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm so far removed from it.
Yeah, that you can let yourself enjoy it. When you're that far in it, when you're actually doing it and playing it, yeah, you might be too in it.
Do you go back and listen to it?
Every now and then for nostalgia purposes, yeah, I'll find myself. But I certainly wouldn't, you know, work out to it or anything.
Do you listen to Best in Show after we do it? What's that? Do you listen to Best in Show?
No, I don't listen back. Only when I have to do the previously on Best in Show. But, you know, I don't find myself watching movies I was in or plays that were recorded.
I would love to watch movies you were in if you would give me one.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself rewatching the Sally Jesse Raphael episode you were
on? To be honest with you, Jay, I actually pulled it out because I wanted to find out where it was, and I did rewatch it, and it is so embarrassing.
You have been promising to give that to me for about a year now.
Likewise. It's so embarrassing. Like, I don't know what you're
I'm pretty sure that if I go looking, I think I have it on video cassette someplace that I could probably find.
So then you can promise to give it to us for a year and not give it to us.
I would actually have to look, I'm not even going to try. I'm saying I think I might have it.
We should do some sort of like contest where all five of us. How many are we? Six. All six of us.
Who's us?
Have to get on television somehow. And the last one to get on television loses.
Has to commit suicide.
on television.
Right. That's it. That's the big thing.
See, but how will you ever, get it, record it? How will you ever know if that person was on television or not, Jay? You would never find out. Like, you could just say, oh, I was on television, you missed it.
Does it count if you pay, $10 to get to a college baseball game and sit behind home plate and get on, ESPN 7?
That would count.
That works. Then you're in.
I should have kept that secret then.
You got to figure out a way.
By the way, DJ New Style is screaming in the Heroes Talk Room. Why hasn't the recording of Fred on the Sally Jesse Show been played? And I don't know. Maybe you should try and find that.
I have it. I watched it four nights ago.
Why don't you let us at least do a little something with it? Like either play it here and we'll talk about it on the air, or maybe we'll put clips of it on our blog over at blog.heroestalk.com. Blog.com or blog.heroestalk.com?
I don't know. Heroestalk.com.
Blog.heroestalk.com.
That's what I thought it was the first time. I was confused.
I'll get it to you this week.
Oh, okay, and I'll throw clips of it up there.
Blog.heroestalk.com?
Yeah, it's the Heroes Talk blog. It's exciting. There's all sorts of things, all sorts of stuff related to the Heroes Talk Network, the DJ New Style Show, 9 to 11 every Tuesday night here, Best in Show. Well, you know,
look
exciting.
Will a picture of your lump? Will a picture of your lump be on the blog, maybe?
No, I'm not gonna be taking any photos of my lump, I don't believe, just yet.
What if it's something that gets removed, then will you put it up?
Oh, absolutely. I'll eat it on the air.
I have no doubt you'll at least taste it.
Well, yeah, I'll smell it. You got to smell. No,
he's a vegetarian. He can't do that now.
Well, listen, guys, I'm doing great.
Excellent. I'm glad.
I'm in a great mood.
Did anybody ask?
Almost every day, in a great mood.
Well, that's excellent. And the reason being, could you put a finger on it as to what it is that has you doing in a great mood?
He's miserable.
I can't figure. I don't know. I just feel good. I feel like life is good. You know?
Right.
I don't believe him for some reason. Some person that says that is definitely not well.
I think.
yeah, I'm great.
I think the medical word for that is manic. I think that's mania. That's how it happens right before you get to the depression.
What just happened, Jay?
I definitely am manic. I'll give you that. But manically happy.
Right now.
But listen, you guys are great. I'm doing great. I should come to the studio sometime and do a show with you guys.
I think that'd be terrific. We'd love to have you in. We'll have our people call your people, and we'll put it together. We'll schedule it and have you come in and sit in with us for, whatever.
This Monday.
Yeah, come in on Monday. Show up on a Monday. No problem. No, we'll definitely do that. I think that'd be great. I'd enjoy having you in for a couple.
Well, I'm never invited back, am I?
Back? Were you there the first time? Remember, I erased that show. I erased that show so no one believes it ever happened.
Oh, man, that was one of the best shows ever.
It really was. It really was the greatest show that never happened because a bear didn't do something.
That's
in the woods,
funny, because Jay erased your show on Mid Evenings with Jay Miller, and you erased his show on this damn radio show that we do.
Not a coincidence.
Coincidence?
Not a coincidence.
No, definitely not.
Of course not.
Maybe
you guys do need
we need to work out.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. Maybe we'll talk to the therapist. Maybe we'll talk to him during our joint session as it comes up, and we'll go with it. But yeah, in all honesty, dude, I would love to have you in. I think it'd be great. I think I'd love to have you in, and we could talk about whatever.
Schedule
stuff
it.
Like how
well,
you doing?
Guys have a great weekend.
All right, buddy.
And Chris, I will see you on Wednesday. Leave me a note.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do about leaving you a note this Wednesday. We'll see.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, buddy.
Later, Jay.
So just so you know, I've been checking out Sternum Lumps.
Yeah.
And Sklumps.
I love that band.
Apparently, a lot of people who were very overweight or overweight lost a bunch of weight, and suddenly the cartilage got pushed out, and they noticed a lump at the bottom of their sternum.
Ah, I'm canceling my doctor's appointment.
And 3 weeks later, they died, actually, I think.
It was AIDS that forced the cartilage out.
In all honesty, it does feel kind of like cartilage-y. That's what I thought it was at first, but I just didn't understand why it wasn't symmetrical.
So why did you describe it as feeling AIDS-y?
Could you crack it like a knuckle? Like it's like
there's no way in the world that I would try and crack a part of my body.
Hit it with a book or something.
Yeah, sternum.
What? With a book? What do you mean with a book?
It's the same as I said to crack this little cyst on my wrist.
A cracked sternum, that's what Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy, WrestleMania 2, don't you guys remember?
It's nothing that a backbreaker can't fix.
I don't want to be in a steel cage match.
I'm a front breaker.
You know, just for a second, you just said that. I have been obsessively watching old WWF wrestling, even though it's called WWE when you record it. There's a show on MSG called WWE at the Garden, and it's on, like, I think twice a week on Wednesday nights, and they just show us something from the Garden. But it's gotten me all obsessed looking for other old wrestling matches, and I just can't seem to find anything that I'm looking for.
By the way, on that note, Steve LaRpe is pointing out that Andre the Giant died from an enlarged sternum.
Ooh,
that's really weird. That's really weird. I don't think that's true at all. But but it was a good story. I'll stick to it.
I think it was an enlarged heart or something, wasn't it?
It was a broken heart.
It was a giant-sized heart, actually.
It was a broken heart because he had the title for a little while and lost it. By the way, if anyone has the WWF match where Hulk Hogan comes out and saves Macho Man... The beginning of the...
what? What are you talking about?
Who is he fighting? Who is the...
It's when they're on opposite sides, but somebody's just beating the hell out of Macho Man, so Elizabeth goes into the back and pulls out Hulk Hogan. It's the greatest wrestling moment ever, because he's coming out all like, what's going on? What's going on? Because he won't look at the ring, though. He's just looking, like, left and right at the fans, like, what's going on? What's going on?
Why is she dragging me out into this room filled with 10,000 people?
Why is she dragging me towards that ring? Where should I look to find out what's going on? And then he does the greatest face ever when he looks in the ring and sees the injustice going on. I can't find it anywhere. They want me to register for these torrent sites to get it.
Yeah, if you tell me, like, if you can, we'll talk about this after hours, like at 2 o'clock in the morning is the only time I talk
Saturday
about wrestling.
Saturday night's main event.
Oh, I definitely have them all on tape for you. I can get you.
Can you go get that?
Yeah, I'm on the way. All right, call me back.
I'll read from the sternum forum while you go get it.
Appreciate it. But yeah, I could get you. I have tons of wrestling stuff. I'm obsessed with wrestling. Horseman business, you know? It's all serious to me. It's all serious. I love my wrestling. But, yeah, all right, sternum, Hulk Hogan, I don't know. I'm going to die from it, and it's going to be bad. But I'm excited now to think that it's only just cartilage, and now I'm not even slightly concerned anymore. I feel like I wasted my time at the therapist yesterday talking about that. I should have been talking about the water cup that Jay left for me behind that I could have been enjoying. It would have been great.
Just to clear that up, you're suggesting, Keith, that it's harmless because you didn't finish it off. You didn't say that it might actually be something bad or benign.
It's nothing like it's it, yeah. It's
ooh,
it's
that word benign. That, when you throw benign in there, I just cringe.
It's definitely better than malignant. I'll take benign.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking benign was the bad one.
So wow. That was bad news you got last night?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no.
Nobody suggested any treatments for it or anything, but everyone was pretty much like, yeah, don't worry, it's this.
All right.
Can I be honest? Now that you're saying this, I almost do want you to hit it with a book. I almost think that that's proper treatment.
Right, and it just disperses into your body.
I picture it like you break something in there and it bursts into 1,000 little bugs and they scatter all around the inside of your body.
Somebody get the ice shirt. It's useful for something, that book.
Absolutely. I want to put an ice shirt on and freeze this little lump and then smash it and get it out of here. That's awesome. All right. Well, see, I wish that I spoke to you before the show, before this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have wasted these first 40 minutes talking about this. Now I won't talk about it ever again. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with your ears is a place to be. You want to be a part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. There's all sorts of pal talkings. There's all sorts of Heroes talkings. There's all sorts of internet ways to talk to us. But I'm sure you already know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hearing the sound of my sweet, sultry voice. What's going on, Brian? Tell me something good.
You know, I have to imagine that most of the people sitting at this table are still employed, that they marked time and realized that this last weekend was Memorial Day. Probably, you know, you guys had Monday off and therefore did something special.
You know what I did for Memorial Day?
What'd you do?
I buried the heroes and I remembered the dead, because that's what we're supposed to do on Memorial Day.
Yeah, but I mean, that you just said those words. You didn't actually bury a hero.
No, I got rid of that hooker's body, and I remembered an Italian sandwich.
Don't you
that
bury
I ate
the
once.
Dead and remember the heroes, or did you purposefully transpose
oh,
that?
Whoops. Color me embarrassed. Right. Color me embarrassed. I got a ham sandwich in the backyard that I got to get to then.
Isn't it remember the heroes and find the dead?
Find me a hero out of that dead guy's memory. That's what I'm going to try and do.
Share a hero with the dead.
The typical traditional Memorial Day event is a barbecue, which actually I enjoyed. I went to a barbecue myself. Did any of you guys happen to make it to one?
Barbecued sternum was on the menu. It was delicious.
I didn't make it to one. I made it to two.
Ooh, you see, that's too much work. There was actually suggestions of people of there being two different parties, and I called out on one.
Your wife has to calm the F down with being a social butterfly, yeah, let me tell you. She's dragging your ass all
over
the
days?
Town.
Which days?
Sunday and Monday.
Ooh, back to back.
Yeah, bad news.
A Monday night? The school night's next night.
Family parties or
friend parties?
Oh, both. Then you had a great time. You're a social butterfly. You can play the part as much as you want. You like going out and doing this stuff, so don't even be a sissy.
Believe me, if my wife would have the balls to call in, she would tell you that I fought the whole way. The whole way there. Why the hell are we doing this? I'm thinking of just to have a kid, just so we don't have to do anything anymore. Just so we could stay in. Is that an all right reason to have a kid?
That's the definition of true love, first of all. But you're going to get more things you have to do.
Really?
Yeah. Now you have child related things you're going to have to do.
Yeah, like take them to school. I don't know.
Chores.
Change their diapers.
What if you like get creative and come up like have an imaginary child? Like you and your wife just say, okay, listen, we're going to say that we had a kid and just tell everyone.
Or so just convince her that it's real.
His wife wants to go to the parties though. She has no problem.
She wants to go. To
well,
the parties.
Then you'll get a fake babysitter for those times. You can work this out.
And I'll be your fake. Oh, damn it. Sorry, Brian. It's a dog eat dog world out there for the unemployed.
It would have been so easy.
I got news for you. The closeted Fred wants it too.
Yeah,
Fred is enjoying these parties too. He's playing the part of a dude who doesn't want to be a part of it, but he loves it.
I mean, like enjoying it is one thing, but a Sunday night and then a Monday night,
Monday afternoon.
I know, because you've never gone to a bar on Friday and Saturday in a row.
I can't do it anymore.
I understand, but you're 116 years old. Fred is young, virile. He's ready to go.
Mid 20s, dude.
Right.
Get with it.
Mid 20s. What?
So. Yeah, it's two nights a week. But, you know, I have the same problem Chris does. It's getting there that is the problem. Yeah. Once I'm there, all right, it's all right.
And that's how I am with everything.
Where is there? Was it Staten Island?
Staten Island, Sunday. Monday, Williamsburg. So I had to, you know, luckily there was no traffic, but I was in a pissy mood, man. But, you know, once I get there, you know, it's all right. It's all right.
Mine was my Sunday night thing, which was good because Monday was a dead day. I was able to, like, kill it and not do much about it, but... Sunday was in Hobo.
It was a dead day. I was able to kill it and not do much about it. What? How is that an explanation of something that you did?
And maybe it's an unemployment thing. I know exactly what he means. He had nothing to do that day, so he just had to sit around.
I had nothing. There was nothing to do, and I knew I was going to be in pain because I was going to a party and I was going to be out of control drunk. And Monday I was going to wake up and I was going to be I wasn't going to function all day long. So. Mm-hmm. So having to go to another party Monday would have been deadly. But I went to Hoboken for it. Like I had to get out. And I don't own a car either, so it was like public transportation. And that's not the worst. It's getting back. That's the hard part.
Wow, Brooklyn, New Jersey on public transportation is – I spoke to Brian on Saturday.
I'm going to say an hour commute.
On a holiday? No, with the holiday schedules? You kidding me?
You know, it's not even the time. It's the idea of now I have. Well, go ahead.
It's a train to a PATH train to a taxi, because you got to take like once you're in Hoboken, you can't you can't walk to the place. You actually have to jump in a cab, and their cab system is different out there than it is in the city. You have to share a cab with 10 other people. They like clag.
Oh, really?
They like throw people into it, and you pay like a base fee, and it'll take you there. So you have to sort of plan it out with strangers. Are you going here? Are you going there? We'll share a car and all that crap.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's bad enough. And then getting home from there, that's where they get you. Because you don't want to deal with that at 2:00 in the morning. You just want to hop in a car and go. And it's like $80. They're going to charge you $80 to get you, like into Manhattan even.
You pay $80?
I split it with, there were four of us. There were four of us in the car. So we all bucked up. And Yeah, I know.
Brian's spending it like he has it, man. I can't believe it. You're like living the life.
By the way, Steve LaRper's pointing out that he lived in Hoboken for 2 years, and he never heard anything like this, these cabs that charge you, that you have to do big things
he
like
He probably
this.
Owned a car. Or never left Hoboken.
Well, he's saying there's a lot of public transportation everywhere. And speaking of that, Brian, Bosco Brad is saying Hoboken is hip and happening. Why would you even leave?
Exactly.
Did you do anything, Keith, for Memorial?
Sunday night, I went to a trivia night at a local bar to try to win some money, and it didn't happen. People bring their phones and they cheat.
Oh, that's messed up. That's messed up.
And
because people bring their phones and cheat. It had nothing to do with the fact that maybe you could have just lost fair and square.
Nah.
No possibility.
No way.
Okay.
You know what? Honestly, it's when people just keep getting perfect scores, like, and questions, like, I admit there's a lot I didn't know, like, the robot, what's the Robert Patrick's robot number in the Terminator 2?
146309. Obviously.
No, not what year did Columbus discover America.
Oh, no, that's 3-9-0-0.
No, that's who he killed when he got here.
Flarb? Flarbning.
Like, what movie were Christian Bale, Tony Collette, and Vanessa Williams all in? Christian Bale, Tony Collette, Vanessa Williams.
Footloose. I'm going to guess Footloose was the answer. What is the real answer? Tony Collette?
Shaft.
I didn't think Tony Collette did anything other than...
I heard
than
Christian Bale and Tony Collette, and I wanted to say Velvet Goldmine, but Vanessa Williams wasn't
Tony
in Velvet
Collette
Goldmine, so...
Or Tony Collette in that.
Yeah. The only thing I know Tony Collette did is the Schizophrenic Girl show. That's it.
Oh, she was in Sixth Sense, Velvet Goldmine. She's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the best. She's my new favorite.
She's the best, actually. That was another question. Who's the best?
I would have got it wrong.
And that was it. And Monday, I stayed home.
Sweet.
Well, I mean, the mainstay tradition is to do the barbecue, but on Monday, when I killed it, I just stayed at home and I watched TV. I found that I think a new sort of tradition is developing for me because I think I've done this the past 2, maybe even 3 years. I don't even plan for it or anything. It just sort of happens that I notice while I'm scanning through the TV that Band of Brothers is playing. And they play them, like, back-to-back. Like, 10 episodes, hour-long each, of this, like, amazing, you know, World War II paratroopers story.
And you go on, you're on the ride the whole 10 hours.
It's like, I can't only watch one. It's like TV crack. Like, that's how Entourage was to me before. Like, especially when they have it on, like, the pay-per-view or on-demand. You start watching one Entourage, and it's like, even if you don't like it, it's only 25 minutes. I can put another one away before I go to sleep. Next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're, you know, 20 Entourages deep into, like, a frenzy. And that Band of Brothers is like, the minute one ends, you have to watch the next one. There's no not watching the next one. You just keep going and keep going.
That's actually how I was with... And I never thought of, when I first watched Entourage, I thought I'm gonna watch this for 10 minutes and turn it off, and I'm gonna hate it. And I sat, like, I had to be at work really early the next day, but I actually got 45 minutes sleep because I sat and watched the entire first season because I kept having to start it. Yes. Is Band of Brothers like a half an hour show?
No, Band of Brothers. It's a ten episode miniseries.
Oh, so you knew you were close to the end, so
right? But they're an hour long, so it's a 10-hour commitment. You know you're getting into it as it's going through, and you know it's about World War II, and it's like a tug at your heartstrings kind of thing. So on Memorial Day, they'll just at least one channel, if not like two or three, will play them back to back, starting with one. It's there all day, and it's just I can't. Whenever I see that it's on, I have to watch it. I don't know what I can't tell you how many times I've seen this thing, and I still will watch it. I'm a sucker for it. It's become a tradition.
I just watched a whole series. Speaking of a TV crack, I have a Stars on Demand, and I guess they have a couple of like comedy. Specials that they do, series, comedy series on the channel. And they have this comedy series called Party Down. Oh. And it's about like these out of work actors that are start this catering business. And I just watched 10 in a row, just like it was nothing. It was a great, great series.
What's the name of it?
Party Down. Hmm. Fred Savage directs them. It's really pretty funny, man.
This isn't that thing with David Faustino, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's not it. It's called Married with Children. No. It's a little different.
No, I'm thinking of his rap video.
Yeah, I never saw Band of Brothers. Never had a desire to see it. And I certainly never saw a Party Down or thought of anything like
Party
that.
Party Down's like a moderately okay. Like I catch myself watching a couple of these episodes. I don't know if I could sit through 10 hours of it. Mm-hmm. That Band of Brothers is just, I don't know. It's great TV. I mean, it's not even. I'll watch Entourage, and I know it's crap, and I'll still keep watching it. That Band of Brothers is genius, and I just, it's like. It's that hint that it's coming, and it changes every... Like, I could have plans for that day, and I'll see that Band of Brothers is going to start in an hour, and it's like, yeah, I'm making phone calls, I'm canceling stuff, I got to watch it.
And you watch it all the time?
Even really canceling plans to watch a TV show?
It depends on how important... If it were my plans, I'd cancel it. If it were somebody else's, I'd feel guilty about canceling it.
Oh, I'd want to even more then. But, yeah, I think... Brian and Chris and I watched, when Chris had never seen Twin Peaks yet, about 10 years ago, we kept renting them and finding them in different places and watching them, and I definitely was repeatedly canceling plans to...
But that was part of the plan, was to hang out and do something. That's like saying, like, you canceled plans to go out and watch a movie. Like, we specifically made the plan to do that, so that's a little bit different.
And as a matter of fact, one of the nights a friend's band was playing and Chris and Brian were desperately telling me, look, just don't go because we called this video store in Brooklyn and they have the next tape. And Chris is telling me, I'll buy a case of Twisted Teas. They're all yours. I'll chill them nice for you.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you'll see it's 12 o'clock. It's noon on Monday and you see that Band of Brothers episode 1 is playing. And you're like, okay, you know what? I've got nothing to do. I'm just going to sit here and watch this. And I've got dinner at 6, you know, I can do this. I got plenty of time. And then like 5:45 rolls around. 5:45 rolls around, you got 15 minutes left to episode 5. You're not going to be able to stop when episode 6 rolls around. And you know, even if you do stop at this point and leave unsatisfied, you're still going to be like 45 minutes late to wherever. So, you know, you turn your phone off, you make your excuse, you leave your message, but you change plans to watch TV.
But there's actually something else that you could do though. Hit pause. Just hit pause and just watch it later. Tape it.
Yeah.
Can't you just do that if it's something that you...
I don't have a lot of buffer on my... I got a lot of things saved that I have to watch later.
But the thing is, this is something you've seen already before too, right?
Yeah. And
that's extra crazy.
Yeah, that's what makes it weird.
I've seen it many times before, but it's like... I guess this is the crazy... That's what I should
you
do. Spend it and it's
already.
On Blu-ray.
You don't
so.
Have a job, buy it.
Yes.
You know, this is... This brings up two things in my mind that I've been wondering about, and I wonder if they're both related to me not working right now. As far as you're saying tape it, I find that because I'm home every day, I thought that I would be like dying just to get out of the house and do something. But it's gotten to the point where now I really just don't want to leave the house, even less than when I work. And when I worked, I used to blame the fact that, well, I have very little free time. Maybe I kind of want to hang around. But like now, I just really I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to do anything.
If you don't, especially when you're worried about spending money, mm-hmm. and if
well,
you're
true.
If you know you're going to be home, you don't you set it up so that you're going to be comfortable at home. And for that, for me, that means getting into pajamas. It means sitting on my couch. It means, you know, outlining my entertainment schedule for the day. And I've got a good, like, 10 hours of video games and TV and movie to watch, and I've only got 6 hours to do it. Mm. So, no, I do not want to go and hang out at the bar with you. I do not want to have a dinner with you. I don't want to go out and see – I don't want to see the like, blockbuster summer movie that I actually am anxious to view.
Guess what, guys? Maybe you take a walk. You go to a bar.
Walk?
Hey, maybe you bump into somebody that might offer you a job. Guess what? You got to get yourself out there. You got to network.
What kind of jobs are you going to get?
I mean, if they hang out at a bar and they start
sucking
talking,
wang in a bathroom is not considered
that's
getting
money.
A job.
Hey, if it brings in money.
That's money.
You're not going to go to a bar and find a job.
Keith is great at it.
You owe me $50, by the way, Fred.
I mean, I see you guys slipping into a bad, like, thing here.
It's a downward spiral.
Really
it's very
bad.
Easy to get
I'm
into.
I'm worried about the okay. both of you.
Is regression included in that? Because... The other thing is, not all I've been doing, but if you look at my DVR now, I kind of just sit around and I've been watching, like, the Flintstones and Wacky Races and Fang Face, like Boomerang, just going through Boomerang to the point of watching, like, the Jetsons, which I never even really like. Like, I've just been sitting watching 1960s, those cartoon sitcoms. Like, I'm sitting watching Wacky Races, sitting there paying attention to
finding yourself picking a nose. like having a little blankie with you.
Like I actually pause Wacky Races to get up, like because I can't just let that play out. I have to see if Penelope Pitstop gets beaten by Dick Dastardly.
You ask your girl for the baba.
You know the worst part about the whole experience is it's like you almost get too much good. There's too much of a good thing with you sitting on that couch, and you can tell because after you've spent so many hours on the couch, it actually becomes uncomfortable for you to be sitting on a couch.
It's called bed sores.
Like you have to shift. Like your neck is kind of sore, but not. It's not a muscular sore. It's just kind of like a discomfortable thing. Like I have to. I've been laying down for too long, so laying down is now uncomfortable.
Brian,
it's time to lay down in a different direction. You can't shake it.
Can I just interrupt you for a second and think about the words you're saying? You just said you know that it's too much of a good thing because of the sores that are forming on your body from doing it
it's
too long.
It's not like – it's not sores on your skin. It's just your body gets bored with being with just laying down and doing nothing. And that used to be – you know, you come home from a long day at work and you look forward to that 2 hours of you just sitting on the couch and doing nothing. Well, after hour 14 – your body's kind of telling you, you know, maybe you should get up and do something. But, you know, that's the last thing your mind wants to do.
Get up and do something. Just roll. Just roll every couple of hours and you should be fine. You should be fine. Do what they do to any bedridden person in the world. Just roll every half hour.
It doesn't work. You get up and you'll rotate so that you're laying and your neck is turning the other way. But quickly, in 5 minutes, that hurts. Yeah.
If your laziness is bothering you, you have a problem. Even if your laziness is just...
You can't just go to the fridge, like go to the closet, get a new bag of chips every half hour. What? You should treat yourself, have like 19 different kinds of chips and get a different chip every half hour so you know that like you have something to strive for.
What that usually does for me is it changes me from watching to playing because I sit up and I'm actually messing around with the joysticks when I'm playing video games, and that forces my body to be contorted differently. And then like I'll play that for a couple hours, I'll throw that back down and I can go back watching the TV.
I go to the store and walk about a mile a day, and I feel like I like just ran a marathon when I got home. Crying.
Hey, Bri, how guilty do you feel when your girl comes home? Do you feel like, oh, God, like you got to look around and like feel like I haven't been sitting on my ass all day? Do you have that feeling of like, okay, I got to like talk and conversate with somebody and, you know?
With his bedhead and like sheet lines in his face, you know what I mean? When he...
I will say that I do recognize that back when I was unemployed and Keith would come to my house every day, we would drink and barbecue in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the winter.
Yeah, no matter what time of year it was, exactly. That at about the time that my wife, then girlfriend, was on the way home from work, I was like, oh, crap, I got to start doing something. And I have to, like, be doing the dishes when she got in. Like, wait, you and Keith are here, there's just empty beer cans every place. They're remnants of burger everywhere. But you want me to believe you've just been doing dishes for the past 9 hours since I've been gone?
I remember you would say something like, yeah, I should probably start cleaning something up. My wife's going to, like, get out of work in, like, 15 minutes. That's when the cleanup would begin.
No, I don't really feel guilty when she walks in the door after working all day long.
Some balls.
Yeah. I do actually I take on and off. Like, I'm actually working from home a lot. So even if it doesn't – if it means I haven't washed my balls all day long, I'm still, like, working on computers and charging people for it. So I don't feel that guilty.
Get a job, guys. Yeah. I feel really bad. You guys are slipping down a slippery slope. You guys know, it's too hard for you to even get up and go out. You guys need to do something.
I have a test to work in the courts. 2 weeks.
Good luck with that.
I'm maybe 45%.
You sound really prepared for it. I have a test to do some sort of job for something.
I just forgot where it was.
I think I have to apply for somewhere and doing it.
Keith's going
to
be the new bull.
Keith has
Oh, no. I have a drug test in court. I forgot.
I bet you get passed.
Well, Keith, I mean, he has to budget his time between that and the gym. So, I mean, that's good. That's also keeping him active.
That's true. That's where do you think I walk a mile to? The store to get like a time break.
Well, we were talking about what we were doing this weekend. And, you know, Sunday and Monday had a party. And Saturday I did a favor for a family member. Like last week or 2 weeks
ago.
Like
a friend of ours family member? Or
no, like my mother.
Oh, okay. So a friend of yours.
Yes. Okay. And it was you. Chris was talking about moving a friend, you know, a couple of weeks ago or maybe a week ago, you know, and how he hates moving friends. And
you know, and when my mom asked me to do something, I can never say no, and I can never charge her, of course, because she's my mother. I mean, who's going to take money from their parent?
Me?
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, this is what my mother said. She goes, my mother's having a party in a week. She's having some girlfriends over. She goes, Fred, I want the kitchen painted.
Ooh.
I said, all right. I said, because you know, she knows I do painting on the side. So she's like, I'll give you $200. I'll give you $200, which was a horribly low rate to even just be offering anyway. I said, I'm not taking money from you. Like, we got into a screaming match.
I'm not taking money from you because your offer was so lowball it was insulting.
That's what I should have said. But it was like, I'm not taking. No, yes, you are. Don't worry. I'll get you a gift. No, I don't want a gift. Well, I'll get you a gift certificate somewhere. That's the same as a gift.
You should have taken. I'll take a gift of me not having to do it. Do me a gift of hiring a real painter to do this for you.
Well, guess what? That's what I should have said, Chris, because she was away the weekend that I painted on Saturday, and she didn't take a painting off the wall. She didn't move any furniture. Like, she was like, oh, it's going to be easy. It'll take you a little while. She didn't take anything off.
That's why you got paid the big bucks. What are you talking about? Paid the 90% of... All right, 90% is a big number.
67.
72% of painting is the setting up for the painting. Is putting the masking tape up, is taking things down, is laying a tarp down, is mixing. And that's,
well, if you'll ask any...
Actual doing this is no big deal.
If you ask any painter, they'll tell you they do not... handle people's valuables. They say you're going to have to take all the valuables out of here. We don't handle them if it breaks.
You're break it.
So you didn't give your mother the speech about the valuables?
I should have gave her the speech, right? I should have given her the
whole mother,
spiel.
You're the person that she would have called to come take care of the valuables before the painter got there.
And then I open the paint. It's the most crappiest paint in the world she gets. Like,
so, you know,
it's
like water.
I can't work with this.
That's what I'm saying now.
I can't work because I'm an artist.
That's exactly what I'm saying to myself.
I'm an actor.
I'm screaming to myself. I find myself talking to myself like, she gets this paint. This is the worst.
No!
No! No! I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Please tell me you went and bought paint.
No. No. And I hoped it. She only bought 1 gallon. And I was hoping it ran out because I was going to call her up. I was going to say, you know what? I painted half the kitchen and it ran out and I'm not going to get more. This is what you have to paint. That was this close.
You're supposed to mix it with your blood. You're supposed to bleed into it, mix it.
I want
to.
What's the brand?
Bear. It's
a good brand of paint.
Benjamin Moore is the only good paint.
Oh, okay. I want you to know, I'm noticing as I'm sitting here doing this, as I'm working with my Bear paints here in the show, I'm noticing that they're a little bit short, and I'm feeling like maybe you might have hit my supply to try and compensate for what your mom didn't do.
And I couldn't believe that, like, this little favor turned into an 8-hour day at her house. And then she wanted me to paint her side door after the kitchen. So after the 8 hours, I call my mom up. I'm like, Ma, I got some good news. I got some bad news.
She goes, I set your house on fire, but it looks great.
I say, the good news is the kitchen is done. You don't have to pay me, but I am not touching that side door. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And she said, okay.
No, that's all right. Thank you so much.
So you really showed her by doing like 17 hours worth of work instead of an extra half hour to do the door and make your mother happy.
No, the door needs to be sanded. The door is a whole big spiel.
But that's a painting.
Sanding it, two coats, it's oil paints, you know, it's very, it's weird.
Okay,
that's
a little different. Yeah, okay, I wouldn't do that either.
You know, it's tough.
She wants somebody to do that?
Yeah, well, Keith O'Brien.
Keith, I was going to suggest. Keith got it covered.
You want to paint my mom's side door? He's going to do
a
shiny paint.
By the way, that's a euphemism for something dirty. You want to paint my mom's side door?
I'll give you a shiny nickel.
But Chris, your mom calls you up, says, Chris, need my kitchen painted. Are you going to do it? And are you going to charge her money? Like, what's the most you'll do for free for a family member?
I've helped my mother move for free.
Moving's not painting.
Oh, I think I'd rather paint than move. I hate moving.
Really?
Moving is my least favorite thing in the world. You gotta, especially when it's a person that doesn't pack, like my mother.
Okay.
My mother does move in the same way that I do, like the moving trucks out front. Like, oh, we should look for a bag to put some things in. That's the way my mom does
stuff.
Well,
that's like not taking paintings off of a wall. It's the same kind of thing. It's just the same amount of piss you off.
I think there's a substantial amount more work when you're trying to clear everything out of a house and you want to move a painting to another side of the room.
If you're bringing someone in to like paint your house, not only should the paintings be off the wall, but like all the tape should be on the parts that you want taped off. You should have a throw plastic down on the ground.
It should be painted.
I love that in Pal Talk, our buddy Walter Sobchak is suggesting that I would help my mother bury a body. that's how far I would go for my mom. I don't know about that.
Yeah, like, well, that's the question. How far would you go? What would you say no to? Would you say no to her and add anything?
I've helped my mother paint before and not charged her to do it.
I mean, would you get rid of a body for her? I mean, is that where you're going with that? No?
Don't, that's not where I'm going with it. I don't know if I would think – I don't think my mother would need to get rid of a body, but it would depend on whose body it was.
She's got guys that do that?
Yeah, she's got a friend of us.
Is another pain in the ass thing to do? You ever pull up a rug or help somebody pull up a rug? You're thinking, oh, I'm going to pull up a rug, and there's friggin' like 10,000 staples you got to pull up.
You got to get that. That's
the worst.
I never pulled up a rug.
So let me ask you this then. Let's wrap all this up together. Is there a person that you will, besides yourself, pull up a rug, help them move, pull up the rug in the old place, move the stuff, but before you move the stuff into the new place, paint the new place, and then move the stuff in?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's lots of people.
Can you give me a schedule next week?
Well, you got a new place you're moving to? Okay. That was the big night.
Brian, what about you? You doing stuff for family members? I know you're not a favor type of guy.
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I'm a favor type of guy. I do favors all the time. And you know what? The best thing about it is when I worked for this bread company, I had a van, so I was the friend with the van. Amongst people who didn't have cars. So if anyone was moving that month, I was helping. I was driving them around. I was parking. Which meant I was usually the only guy, you know. And because I had the fan, it was me and that person, and we were moving all of his stuff. And it was rare that they would be unprepared. Like, it's pretty bad when you walk in there and they're not packed up. They're not ready to go because you know it's going to be a crappy day already. You just don't want to be a crappy night. But yeah, I'm pretty much a guy who just does favors all the time. My parents ask me of that, but it's probably a lot less than you guys. They only ask me really big things because they live so far away.
What would be a big thing that they would ask?
Painting, like the last one of the last things that I had to do was painting for the paint. It was actually the entire inside of the house. And then we had to do it with a chair rail, too, so we had two different colors on the side.
And did you charge them for that?
No, you didn't charge them for that, no. And that meant also that I had to go up there for the weekend. Like, I was stuck in Albany now for the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend's mother, I end up doing a lot of favors for because she has to maintain a big house and, like, a yard up in New Jersey. So it's relatively close, and they don't, you know, there's not – really like a manly man in their life, so I'm it, sadly. I'm their excuse for a man.
If you're the manly man, oh man.
Yes.
Well, that's it. I'm not doing favors for anybody else. Nobody asked me for another favor, okay, guys?
Oh, Fred, just one.
No. What is it, Keith? All right, what is it?
I actually didn't know you painted.
Oh, please don't ask.
Seriously. I heard you paint on the side. I'm thinking, oh, interesting.
Fred, Brian asked me to help him move. Can you do it for me?
I'm going to charge Rob out the nose if he asks me to paint.
Of course.
I'm going to charge him like $7,000. Oh, this bathroom?
You got to realize, though, he would hire some sort of migrant worker to do it. So he's not going to be paying the big bucks for you.
A laborer. We'll talk, Rob. We'll talk off the air. Definitely. My services this summer, definitely.
That's on the inside of the house. You don't let Mexicans inside. That's the rules.
I have to say this. When Chris, I helped Chris a couple of the days. I helped his mom when she moved. And
as I was mentioning reference to the fact that I helped my mom move before, I was looking over to you to see if you were going to say something about that. Yeah.
No, the only reason I'm even saying it is because, well, I want credit, number one, and number two, because there's nothing better than watching Chris and his mother fight the whole week. And then his grandmother, poor grandmother, trying to just break it up.
But does it get vicious, or is it just like little jabs here and there?
No, I go
Chris
elbows.
Gets vicious.
I try and go elbows to the head, and I try. I'm always looking for some sort of knee bar. I'm trying to get a submission.
Ground and pound.
Well, no. I'm a submission artist. I'm like, you know, I like to roll. I really get into it with her. I try and put a hurt.
He threw gasoline on her and said, "Make me like this match. Make me."
I've seen Chris around his mother, and it is like it's kind of funny to watch from afar. But being too close to it, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes. May I say?
We went to one of those storage places. And we're bringing stuff in, but we had to have, I don't know, there was some sort of a time limit, like getting a truck back or something. I don't know what it was, but whatever the time limit was, we were really pressed for time. So we're bringing stuff in and out of this storage facility. And Chris's mother, I guess, she picked something up and she's kind of like running a little bit, but not really, you know. I think she thought because she was running a little bit, it was making it go faster, but she really wasn't going
she was
any
doing,
faster.
She was doing the fake thing for people that go across the street that you talk about all the time.
That cut in front of you and they do the walking, the running motion.
Pump the arms so they look like they're running. They're creating an illusion of quickness.
Except he's screaming at her, "You're not going any faster! Running like an effing idiot!"
Hey, Fred, you know that look that you get from Chris when your bit's not going so well, or where you, when you think something is, that you've said something that isn't really like up to his par? You
sure.
Get the roll of the eyes, the like, the touching of the forehead,
the taking off of the headphones.
That, you know how that happens every once in a while when we're doing a show? That happens constantly. There's not a single word that his mother can say that will not generate that response from him. Like, he is just in that mode consistently when he's around his mother. And God bless her mother, it's like she's doing stuff that intentionally is... It's like watching her pour gasoline on the flame, and it's just... It's this combustible.
She knows
sort
how
of
to
situation.
Pull the strings.
Yes.
We have a nice great. Time. We have a nice time. I like her. I don't think this. I, you know, you guys are painting me to be some sort of monster that doesn't care about
your
my
mother's.
Mom.
You're a sweetheart. Though. You really do.
I'm
love
adorable.
Her
I'm handsome and gorgeous.
You're like a big teddy bear.
I'm sensual.
A big sternum.
And a gigantic one. But no, I'm fine to my mother. My mother and I have a relationship. We have an understanding that she acts stupid and I yell at her for it. That's the way our relationship works, and it's worked out. It's
do you
nice.
Ever feel bad though? Like, do you ever stop at the end of the day and say, "Yeah, I was kind of a jerk"?
Sometimes, not often, though.
Do you tell her?
And what I do is, I've had conversations with my mother that literally have consisted of, "Hey, Ma, I was thinking about this the other day. I want you to understand that I really am not so sure that I should have been as miserable as I was." That's as close as you're going to get to an apology. I'll talk to you later. That's the conversations that we'll have. That's about it.
Yeah, very stern.
Yeah, exactly. Sternum. But no, it's just, she irritates me. And I'm, you know, I'm sure I do to her. But I'm a little baby, so she loves me. Aww. A gigantic, big, tremendous.
Oh, no, I'm not asking on her end. I know she'll love you no matter what.
Unconditionally. I don't blame her. But no, of course I feel bad sometimes.
Fred,
not often, though.
Do you ever fight with your parents?
Cock.
Never.
Say cock.
Never. Never fight with my parents. It's great.
Say cock.
I'm so... I'm really lucky because my
What would you consider? I'm not painting your effing door. Get hire someone else to paint your door. That's not a fight.
Oh, no, he talks about her on the show afterwards behind her back, but that's not really fighting.
I mean, we get along because I see how my wife's family is, and they don't really get along. You know, they have problems, and I just can't believe like a family would even fight like that. I'm lucky for some reason. Thank God. Knock on wood. But I never yelled or got hit. I maybe got hit once in my life by my parents, but. I have a really good relationship, thank God. What about you, Keith?
I don't. I have a guilt thing, too. Like, I'm still guilty about all the bad stuff I did, putting my parents through all sorts
oh, really?
Of stuff. Like,
and you still deal
ago.
With that guilt now?
So I tried not to. Yeah, I always will.
Really?
But yeah, so I try like, not to. And plus, I really have no reason, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have a reason to fight with them, but like my brother does. My brother fights. Like my brother will fight with my mother a lot. They'll scream and yell at each other, and then like he'll call to like apologize, and that'll just be worse. Then they'll not talk for 2 days or something.
I'm sorry.
I will go so far as to say that Keith's mom is maybe one of the sweetest women that's ever lived.
Plus,
so I can understand how Keith wouldn't fight with her. There's nothing to fight with her about. She's super understanding. She'll let him get away with murder. She doesn't care.
She's got a nice ass too.
That murder was a secret.
Oh, sorry.
Well, Keith, that's the same as my brother, because my brother and my mother get into fights all the time, screaming at each other. I'm just like, what are you guys screaming about? What is there to scream about? I just don't understand how you could get a fight with your mom. Like, you getting into a fight with your mom, Chris, about her walking is just ridiculous.
But did you see the way she walks, though? She's stupid. No, my mom does dumb things. I don't fight with her about it.
Every mom does dumb things.
I make fun of her for it. I break her balls. Okay. It's a little bit different. I don't fight tooth and nail with my mom very often. Unless I fought tooth and nail with my mom, I was probably 15. I was mad about something dumb.
You get the feeling that on the inside, Chris's mom is just crying, but she can't cry anymore on the outside because she's all cried out.
Oh, no.
Like, he's broke her too many times that she just doesn't have that emotion that she could show to anyone, you know? She keeps it inside.
You think she only had one kid for a reason? Because Chris was a handful.
hand.
I really don't. I don't appreciate this. I don't appreciate this. Me and my mommy have a fantastic time together. We have an understanding. You're playing her out as she's some sort of martyr and some sort of awful things. She's strapped with the sun.
She should be canonized. She should be canonized.
And it rolls right off her. It brushes off her.
Yeah, she's able to, like, whatever.
But Brian's exact words is just, I think that part of her says that is fine with it, but on the inside she's crying like, shut up. Why? Because I make fun of the fact that she wears glasses, you know, because like I do silly, like it's not like I do anything bad. I don't hit my mother often, you know? I don't do anything crazy like
you
that.
You taunt her. All the time. Every moment that you're around her, whether it's alone with her, or I have to assume whether it's when it's alone with her, but it certainly is whenever I'm in the room with you two.
Define what you mean by taunt. I break her balls a little bit.
Yeah, I thought I explained it. The way that he treats us when we're not living up to his standards is how he treats his mom. Constantly.
Steve LaLarper knows what I'm talking about. It. He feels me. You can be cool with your mom and still be a cool person. We're friends. We're buddies. We hang out. She talks. I hate it.
Call her and apologize for everything.
Sure.
Apologize for everything, though. Sure. I mean everything.
I got no problem doing
30 seconds into the phone call, you will hear exactly what I'm talking about. You are going to... You will understand.
You don't have my mom's number, do you?
I did.
You never speak.
All right, well... Let me ask you this. Chris, do you fight with your dad ever?
Nah, not really.
Nah. Yeah, I don't see you and your dad fighting.
Yeah. No, my dad and I have a different dynamic.
Not aside from Jets Dolphins.
Yeah, my dad and I have a different dynamic though. My dad and I didn't speak for like 12 years. So that's why like it's not the same thing. My mom is, you know, I've known my mom since I was a kid. So we're like friends. And you know, we go past these
She
things.
Made you.
Should I ask the guy that left me? The other
robbed? me. No, actually, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to point a finger at Chris. I mean, it's rich for me to say it. My relationship with my family is just flat out messed up. There's no two ways about it. I still haven't resolved the fight that I had with my father a couple years ago. Now,
you beat a guy's ass at one wake of a member of his family, and they make such a big deal out of it. Jesus Christ, get over it already.
You never apologize for
that? You know what? Read a Stephen King book in front of Brian, it's going to happen.
Obviously.
You are really that hippie guy that says, you know, my parents didn't hug me too much when I said that a few shows ago. And you're like, you know what? I kind of am that guy.
I guess. I mean, it's not that they tried. I just didn't let them.
You tried. You should apologize for that. You should.
You're right.
Doesn't
right.
that weigh on you every
Rob,
time?
Call
you,
her up.
Call her up.
Well, I mean, that's my.
By the way, I think Brian legitimately got terrified for a second at the thought that he actually really had to talk to a member of his family. What? Is this really happening?
I mean, because I'm definitely messed up and I have family issues. My family's very kind of like emotional, and they try to like suggest that they're close to each other, even though they live in like different parts of the country and world. Even they manufacture this sort of emotional care, and they try to like, you know, write each other emails and they call each other on the phone to keep them in the loop for all their important stuff. And it all seems like really manufactured to me, and I don't even bother.
Maybe that's because they don't want to manufacture towards you. Maybe it's not manufactured. Maybe it's genuine for them, and that's just the way that they deal with people.
That's, I guess, what I'm trying to communicate is that they're trying to kind of bring me into it, and I feel like a little guilty because I reject that. I just don't respond to their letters. I don't call them back on the phone. I'm not calling them back on emails. If my mom wants me to paint her house up in Albany, I'll go up and do that. Like, me and my mom, I'll hook her up with something. But for the most part, I really don't talk to my family. Like, I'm not – even if my dad and I were still on great terms, we probably wouldn't talk but once a year anyway.
Why is there not sad music playing behind us? Just curious. Just one thing.
But it is. It's in my head.
What is it that you don't want to get too close again? Why don't you email back or write the letters back? Or
because
the phone
it
call?
Seems it seems silly to me. Like it's
silly. What do you mean?
It's
Brian. Did you hear Mildred Agnapesto from up the street had a baby? I hate you, Mom. I hate you. That was the response.
No, there is no response. I won't respond to stuff like that. Like, they'll, my family will, someone.
I wanted to write back, but I didn't know how to put the blood of the innocent into my computer screen for her to understand it.
they'll want to talk about, like, you know, my cousin is pregnant and expecting to have a baby.
Oh, they wanted to like share experiences. Exactly. I understand.
They want to do that. They'll do their little family letter. I don't know if you've, like, have people who write letters and send them out at the end of every year or something, updating you on your you know, like, this is what we did this year. And
Brian still won't talk to us.
I mean, have you ever
the last mail said, could someone forward this to Brian if he's given you your address?
But, I mean, that's I guess that's at the root of everything, because I've had very close friends that I no longer keep in touch with for the same reason. It's just like, I don't want to bother calling you out of the blue and, like, trying to establish a relationship. I know I'm never going to see you again. You live in California. I live in New York. Don't bother.
But, Brian, your mom writes just you an emotional letter saying, how are you? You know, I'm going through this. She tells you she's going through some tough times. Do you write her back? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'd have to. She knows that I'm not that kind of person.
He wrote back, ditto.
That's it.
She knows that I'm not that kind of person, so she wouldn't tell. Word. She would call me and tell me if something went horribly wrong, and then I'd have to come up and fix it or something. But for the most part, she wouldn't share her innermost feelings about, you know, members of our family or something, because she knows that I'm not going to respond to it.
just about her. I mean, have you ever had an emotional conversation with your mom?
No.
Ever?
No, I avoid those like the plague.
I've never had, like, just a one-on-one emotional conversation.
I really can't think of one, and if I ever feel that kind of thing going, I definitely put up, like, barriers to the whole process. Like, I'm not going to – I kind of, like – I don't know. I'm a robot. I don't want that. I don't want that between us.
Not even with your father? You never had, like, a bond or anything?
No.
Even before the fight?
No, not really. No, not really. I'm sorry.
Wow, man. That's sad.
Is it sad?
It's really sad. It is.
Do you really have a bond with your family, or do you just, like...
I do. I spend holidays with them. They're close.
I spend holidays with my families, too.
I think when I do start a family, they're going to help me more and be even closer. I, you know, I look forward to these things.
So you only see your family at, like, weddings and things like that?
If I go to the weddings, I'll see them there.
I was just going to say, Brian, do you go? You don't go to weddings, right?
I do. I've been to some weddings. I didn't go to my brother's wedding.
I don't mean Chris's wedding.
Man. You didn't go to your brother's wedding.
I didn't go to my brother's wedding.
You're a scumbag.
Yeah, just
he didn't tell me until, like, the day before.
No. In Brian's defense, he was invited on Facebook, and you know how Brian feels about social networking.
I didn't know about it.
He really told you the day before?
Oh, I didn't know about it until, I think, 2 days before, and it was in South Carolina. And
he sent him a letter about it months in advance, but he doesn't like to open letters from family members. So
it was in the family letter at the end of the year.
It was a spontaneous.
Hey, Brian, who was the favorite of your parents? Like, who is the favorite?
The favorite son?
Yeah, like, or anybody.
I was the firstborn. They spoiled me rotten when I was younger. My two younger brothers got the short end of that stick. I was also the first grandson, so I'm, like, the oldest of we're an Irish Catholic family, so there's, like, thousands of us, and I was the first one. So yeah, I was the spoiled. The one to see all the stuff first, and I just don't want any part of it.
Oh, man.
I just don't like it. I don't like it. It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good to me. I don't feel as if if I were faking it, it would be even worse. And why bother faking it? Because, like...
Well, you fake it just for the point, you know, like, to keep your mom's feelings intact. You know what I mean? How do you think she feels that her son doesn't, you know, get in touch with her?
I call her on her birthday. I get her. She gets
really
the Mother's Day flowers from me.
Does she understand?
She knows.
Understands. That's the way it is, right?
She knows that. Yeah, she knows that
I'm
different.
She can understand
different.
It, but she might not like it. Of course, she doesn't like it. She wants to hear from her son. Every mother does.
Doesn't it go through your head like, wow, she's going to die one day? Even though you say you think you're going to die before, but you know, the whole, you know, maybe. You know, or you don't care and you're just waiting for that time to happen.
No, I care. You know? Yes, I do think, like, if she passes away, I'm sure, like, I'll be the guy that will think, well, I should have hung, you know, I should have had a closer relationship when she was alive. But, you know, she's alive now. I'm not going to think about that until she's dead. So.
Do me a favor. Have a nice one-on-one with her for the next show. Come on.
What am I supposed to talk about?
Talk about your feelings. Talk about something that you
my
never...
My feelings? Yeah. Who am
Wait,
I going to talk...
Hold on a second. You are talking about... Okay. Oh, Brian. Oh, you don't like to get your feet wet. Oh, that's awful. Oh, you know what? Try and swim across the... try and swim across the English Channel. Like, you don't just jump in all that way. Like, start off with, like, call her and say, oh, hey, how you talk to anybody lately? How's things been? Okay. All right, I'll see you later.
Good idea. So,
have you ever done that to your mother, Chris?
No, but I would never. I'm not.
Chris wants to climb back up in her vagina.
Oh, what?
Fred, have you ever called your mom to just catch up?
Yeah.
Really? Totally. How often do you do that?
I talk to my mom once or twice a week.
Haggit. Haggit!
Why?
Haggit! Oh, sorry. I had something caught in my throat.
He definitely talks to his mother more.
Yeah, I do. I talk a few times a week.
Stupid Haggit! Sorry.
You just said she's the nicest lady in the world.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But you know what?
You think it's bad that a person talks to their parents once or twice a week?
No, it's not bad. It's gay.
What? What's gay about that? What's so gay about that? I don't know.
Guys, just so you know, homeroom's over. We got to get to gym.
Seriously. Nerds. You guys are two nerds.
As far as to say, I talk to not both my parents almost every day. Maybe not every day, but definitely a few times. Talk to my dad a few times a week also.
And imagine not having them. Would that make you sad, Keith?
Yeah, of course it would.
Like, Brian is a robot.
I talk to my mother once a week when my mother calls. And she's like, yeah, what? Yeah. What do you need? All right, I'll talk to her.
See, that sounds like it's painful for you to be on the phone.
I don't like it.
See, that doesn't make her feel nice at all.
You know what would make her feel nicer or better? Not calling.
Yes.
Spare yourself the indignity of being abused by me. Don't call. Well, don't call. Do yourself the favor. I like you plenty. I've made this clear to everybody that I know. I don't like talking on the phone if there's no purpose to talking on the phone.
Yeah. I will say this much.
If there's a purpose to a phone call, fine. For when my mother calls to say, what are you doing? Oh, I think the Waldbaum's is having a sale on chicken, so I might go by and get some. Oh, great. That's fantastic. I honestly, I don't know if I would have been able to make it through the day if I didn't know that Waldbaum's by you had a sale on chicken cutlets. Please, tell the vegetarian about the chicken that's on sale on the other side of the world.
To be clear, these aren't words that are happening in his head. These are the words that are actually coming out of his mouth and going into the phone in response to
right, well, how else would she know that? How else would she
fair,
know?
But to be fair, I used to think when I would hear him answer the phone to her, and then just be really rude, I would just think, why didn't he just not answer the phone? But he would never not pick up when she called.
There might be something bad. She might have to know. Generally, when I'm mad about stuff, there might be something bad. I need to know. Like, I'll be like,
they're out of chicken.
I can't talk right now. Is everyone okay? Yeah, everyone's fine. Okay. I got to go. Bye.
I ran out of chicken.
Well, Keith.
Son of a...
Keith, guess what? Chris's mom doesn't call for a week, maybe a month. Chris is getting upset. Chris is going to get upset and be like, why haven't you called me? And then you're gonna pull that move.
I got news for you. By the way, Oikar is suggesting in the Pal Talk room that there should be a what's up, where are you at, where are we meeting, time, cool, that's it for a phone call. I agree, except get rid of the what's up and where are you at. I don't need to know the first half. I need to, is there an agenda here? Yes, good, bye, you're done. That's what should be happening on a phone call. Yeah, well, I feel bad if my mom, if she doesn't call, I don't know.
She hasn't called 2 months.
Oh, so.
This coming from the guy who, number one, complains how I never answer the phone.
I call you with a purpose.
And number two, will call and say, yo, got a new song.
But that's a purpose. I need you to hear the new song. There's a purpose when I'm calling to talk to you.
Which you could say something like, yo, mother effer, what? But like for a minute and a half.
That's a good song, though. That's a good song.
Well, it depends on the beat.
Understand, but there's a point there. Granted, I'm not saying that it has to be an important point, but it has to be a point. When I swear on my life, part of conversations with my mother consists of, what was I going to tell you? I can't remember what I was going to say. There was something.
I do hate when somebody can't remember, but they keep, instead of saying, I'll tell you later,
but
they keep trying.
But the point is, there was never anything. That is... Oh, let me come up with another reason to stay on the phone.
Oh, that's so sad. Just talk. Go visit her.
I see her once a week.
Yeah, do you answer the phone like, yeah, what's up? Like that quick. Hey.
Of course he does.
You know, like
yeah, what?
Fred, let's bring a pizza to Chris's mom's house and just talk.
Oh, she would love you guys to come over. Go to my mom's house and bring pizza. Save me a slice.
Have any of you guys ever lived in a different city than your mother or father? Like, have you ever lived in a different place, like a different state or town or
Or building
the country?
Philadelphia for a couple of months,
okay.
5 months.
Well, lucky with my history of success that I live in a different house.
So you were in Philadelphia for how long?
Like four or five months.
Oh.
Wasn't that long.
Well, so, Fred, you went away to school.
And I went away to school. I went away to school for 3 years.
How often would you talk to your parents when that happened?
That was a thing. Like, I would go months without talking to my parents when I was in college, to the point where my mother would be on my answering machine. Hello. It's your mother. Yeah. Remember me? Remember your mother?
Oh, she'd get attitude about it?
Oh, definitely.
See, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't live in the same town. I haven't since I was like 18 years old that they don't – I don't see them all the time. Like I'm not bumping into them. I'm not going over there for dinner once a week. Yeah. I'm not doing – running errands for them. I rarely see them. And I guess it slowly transitions into not talking to them for a couple months at a shot. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Hey, Brian, so is it going to be weird, like, inviting them to your wedding?
That would be weird, assuming
that, that he's getting married in the first place.
That would be weird if I ever am at a wedding. That I'm up front.
Hey, I got an invite to a wedding. You guys want to come? You guys want to go for me?
By the way, when that phone call just came in on my phone, I was so going to throw the phone at the wall because I was convinced it was going to be my mother saying, so what are you doing? What are you doing?
You need a way to be able to patch that on the air somehow.
Okay, sure.
I am a little stressed about the next time I actually have to see my father again. That's going to be awkward because it's been too long. We haven't talked to each other, and there's this lingering thing.
Just prep yourself. Go to a couple of weeks of a little cardio training first, and you'll be ready for him. You'll be ready for that match, yeah. The rematch. You're ready.
Yeah, that's going to be awkward.
Because you got to bring it up, but you know.
Yeah, and I probably won't. I won't be able
to bring it up. Yeah, about that whipping your ass thing.
Exactly.
Crazy how these things happen, huh?
I don't know how I'm going to do it because I can't play the robot. Like I'm going to actually have to manufacture some sort of feelings in order to
go up to him, give him like one of these. Just give him a little. How you been?
What if he
like
flinches?
A punch. Go for a fist bump. Go right to the floor.
Yeah.
That's going to be an awkward.
It's going to be very awkward.
Right?
I'll tape it. I'll see if I can tape it.
Oh boy! Good luck with that one, man.
Thanks.
It's fantastic. It's a family hour. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of interpersonal relations, and we're just interpersonal guys relating to you here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here's talk. Yeah.
You're listening to Best in Show on HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Germ Free, co-host of the DJ New Style Show, broadcast live every Tuesday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time on HearUsTalk.com. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay?
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that part of the show where Germ Freak forgets how to be a heterosexual and has a list of things that he might want to do, might want to be a part of, and might be gay.
Is it gay to hold a door open for another man?
Yeah, I think it could be a little gay, though. My thing of it is, if you hold it for somebody, it's almost like you're trying to make that person gay. It's like you're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, go in. I'm the man. Go in. What's next, Frank?
All right. Is it gay to ask another man to sing a little bit of a song that he's trying to tell you about because you can't recall which one it is?
So he has a song in his mind, and the only way he can convey what the song is by singing. He's like, hey, Frank, you know that song? Must have been love.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's awful.
Frank, what's next?
Is it gay for a guy to mail another guy a birthday card?
Absolutely gay. I think it's almost it's borderline gay to wish a guy happy birthday. Borderline gay.
Wait a second. You're saying you feel a little queer wishing another guy a happy birthday?
It's borderline gay. It's approaching gay. It's friendly, but you're getting there. I mean, you have to know the person.
The DJ New Style Show is broadcast live from New Jersey every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be! You could also hear it in the Hear Us Talk radio chat room on Pal Talk. The DJ New Style Show is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk radio network. Thank you.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. Home of the DJ New Style Show. Creators of the fantastic bit. Is it Ellis? I mean, is it Kay? I don't know. Something. Awesome. 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 What's up?
Is it LSD, man?
Oh, chill.
Is that why you threw some Floyd on?
Dude, you know, I'm just hanging out. I did a couple of hits.
I haven't heard that song in so long. What's the name of that song? It's. I know it's on Metal.
It's on Metal. I can't remember off the top of my head.
You want to be starting something?
No, I think that might be it. I think that might be it. I can't remember.
So I've been wondering.
Really, bro? Me too.
I've been with my girlfriend now for about 8 months. 7 months. Just past 7 months. And
happy anniversary, bro.
Thank you. I think
happy anniversary.
Is it a happy monthiversary? Happy septimonthiversary. And I have this thing where I decided that I was just gonna always tell her the truth about everything, just because it just makes life easier to not ever have to worry about getting caught up in any sort of a lie or anything like that.
You do know that when you tell one lie, it leads to another. So that's the main reason not to.
And I haven't really had any reason to lie to anyway, but I noticed in the rest of my life, do you always tell people what you're really thinking? And Chris is a good one to ask, because you would think if he's holding anything back, what the hell could it possibly be?
No, I definitely don't always tell people what I'm really thinking. I definitely don't. I definitely hold back a lot of things. I hold back a lot of things, believe it or not, because I'm afraid it's going to hurt people's feelings if I tell them everything I really think. I'm being 100% serious. I know that may seem a little bit ironic, considering I'm a miserable bastard.
A lie that says, is what I was suggesting.
You honestly believe that I let everything go? You and I have had conversations about things that I should have said to people that I don't. I hold back all the time.
That's
I hold
true.
Back all the time for the idea that I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
I'm exaggerating. I think what Keith was pointing out is that you seem to talk a lot, typically fairly openly to most people, to a fault almost.
Right on.
Fred?
I definitely don't tell people how I'm feeling. Definitely not. To the point
you think
where
most of the time you lie?
Oops, yeah, sorry. To the point where I'll just, totally lie. But is it a lie if you believe the lie?
Yes.
Like, if you tell the lie...
If the facts of what you're saying aren't facts, then you're lying. And you're aware, then you're lying.
Well, you could lie about opinions, too. You know, it's not... You don't lie about all factual things all the time.
If you don't go to a wedding because you have to go because you don't want to, because you don't like the person who invited you, but you say you have a previous engagement...
Okay, yes.
You have to believe that you're really going to a previous engagement.
Yes.
For it to not be a lie.
And I will go to so far as to make that previous engagement up in my head just in case that person asks me how it was and what I did. I'll have that whole thing
that's,
in my
that's
head.
That's covering your tracks, though.
Yes.
That's being a good liar.
No, see, but that's the you tell one lie, it leads to another. What it is. You
so
tell two lies to cover the other. Tell three lies, old brother, you're in trouble up to your ears.
Life is so much more interesting. Who wants to hear the truth of my boring life? You know what I mean? Who wants to really hear the truth?
I got to be honest with you, Fred. You really have an inflated self-opinion of your lies. I don't want to hear those either. Keep it all to yourself. Grunt and nod, and we'll be fine. There you go. Oh, okay. That's all the communication we needed.
Fred, do you ever tell the truth?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But, I mean, when it comes to like a...
Do you consider yourself a truthful person for the most part? Because I think we look at you as a little bit of like... Fred the actor.
We no longer accuse him of having Fred's lie of the week.
That's true. I mean, I consider myself, I'll say 60-40.
Which way?
60 truth, 40 not.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. It is a lot. But, I mean, when you say, be open with people, talk to people, I mean, are you talking just like about your feelings about things? Or are you just open about like just BS in general? How far are you going into that, Keith?
I was going to say even further. Are you saying lie in the traditional sense of not telling the truth or withholding truth as well?
Yes.
Well, withholding truth meaning...
Because to that point, I don't think that I lie so much as I withhold truth from
people. Let me be hypothetical to figure out what you're saying here. So Fred, are you talking about Fred telling me, yeah, you know what, I really don't like Chris, and then me not telling you, is that withholding truth? Or is it withholding truth when you say to me, hey, has Fred ever said whether or not he likes me?
No.
And I say no.
No, it's withholding truth when I'm...
Which, for the record, Fred did not say that. I just know he doesn't like
and that's,
you.
And that's fine. That's fine. I'm saying, like, withholding truth would be like if we're sitting around talking about something, whatever, and I, in my heart of hearts, am, like, I'm pissed off at Fred about something and I don't say a word about it, eh, everything's cool. That's withholding truth.
That no,
but
yeah,
we know when you're lying.
That as well. That as well.
That's withholding.
That's
truth.
The majority of what I do.
But withholding truth about someone else's truth. If you're withholding someone else's truth, that doesn't count. You're allowed to lie about someone else's stuff.
No,
like if you, like if you're on the way home from work. Well, you guys can't relate. But anyway, Chris and Fred, if you're on the way home from work and you stop by a bar,
driving that nail in.
But you know, you just expect, you know, like you don't say nothing. You just come home and not like say, hey, I was just at a bar or whatever. Like you just don't say nothing. That's lying. You know what I mean? Like
theoretically, you know, yeah, I would never have a reason to lie about a bar, but that concept, yes, that would be withholding truth. I don't consider that lying.
Brian Rob dissed us. I'm not going to lie. So I can consider withholding truth a lie.
That is lying. It is lying in a sense,
and not really lying. Okay, so it's not. It's I think I asked this wrong because that's not even what I was thinking. It's not even lying. It's are you always truthful with people? Do you always and not even that? Do you always tell people how you really feel or what you're really feeling? And that definitely counts as withholding truth.
I'll tell people how I'm really feeling about subjects that don't pertain to me or the person, like maybe a news story or something at work happened, and I'll tell my opinion about what I think about that. But when it comes to like relationships with people, I'm kind of have a wall there. Like I'm not going to go personal with somebody. But if we're having just a normal conversation about just BS topics, sure, I'll tell my opinion about what I think about this movie or this artist or whatever. But when it comes to like personal stuff, I get a little weirded out there.
Okay, but see, to me, it's that's withholding, and withholding to me is not the same thing as lying.
Well, when you're withholding and you're saying one thing and you're feeling another, that's lying.
But that's withholding. Just choosing not to share is not the same thing to me as not being honest.
But if you say...
That's the point of what I'm asking.
If you're saying you're angry and somebody says, how you doing? And you say, fine. And
even if you say, I am doing fine.
Say you say, I'm not angry, but you're angry.
No, I'm doing fine. I'll be fine. I'll pull through. I'm going to be great. I think you're a douchebag and I hate your face, but no, I'm fine.
But you're not good. Well, see, that's a lie. If you're saying the underlying thing is you're a douchebag and I hate your face.
But I'm fine. I am fine. I'm not lying. I'm just not telling you that I hate your face. Mm-hmm. Is that stupid, smug face that I look at and I want to stab at you, stupid prick.
Okay, so
look at Brian when you're talking to him. It's okay.
So somebody comes up to you that you don't like and say, Chris, I heard you don't like me. Is it true?
He's like.
You're going to say I'm fine?
What are you talking about?
You're fine. You're fine.
I love you. I love you, bro.
I don't think I would actually say I love you, bro, but I would deflect it. What are you talking about? Who told you that? What do you mean?
Okay,
that I like you. I don't think I would ever say, bro, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
No, you would go out of your way to come up with an example to show how you how it couldn't be possible that you didn't love them.
I don't know.
Like, dude, I talked to you five times. We work together 8 hours a day, and I still drive you home.
There aren't too many.
How could I not like you?
There aren't too many people that I don't like. I'm a pretty personable guy. There aren't too many people I just really don't like. There are people that I don't love that aren't my favorites, but there aren't too many people that I don't like. So someone coming over and saying, hey, you don't like me. Like, I can't imagine that conversation would ever happen because there's no one I come in contact with that I don't like.
Does your wife have friends that you don't like?
Like you have to pretend to like them?
That you're forced to or you're put in the position to hang around with them?
No, I'm thinking about it. No one I can think of off the top of my head. Nah, not really.
Because that's the worst, because not only can you not be truthful to those people, you can't be truthful to your wife about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say flat out, I hate your friend. Don't bring them here anymore.
Totally.
You can?
What about you, Keith? Are you honest in your life?
Well, that's, no. That was my point.
I usually don't tell people
what I'm thinking. I brought this up by saying that I decided when I started dating my girlfriend that I had to avoid ever stepping into that trap or getting caught in anything.
I decided to never speak to her. Ever.
The worst that would ever happen is I would be truthful about something that may annoy her, but I'm never going to live through the horror of being caught in that lie.
Sure.
So, but that's to her, not to anyone else.
Yes. Well, do you catch yourself lying now that you're comfortable in the relationship just about stupid stuff? Like, oh, what'd you do today? And you say, oh, I looked for jobs and you didn't or something like that.
No. Okay. I don't.
I didn't watch TV all day. Trust me.
I know this. I know this sounds like it's not true, but I really don't. I don't lie. I lie to everyone else. I know as much as possible, but
I prep for the show.
And you can't help but not lie. If everyone says they don't tell lies, they're lying. I mean, it's just impossible not to lie.
You can consciously lie to. You can consciously not lie to one person. I've learned so far, but you can't not lie to everybody.
Absolutely,
you can't. I mean, you can, I guess, but
if you were honest to everybody, you would be the most hated person in the world. I think. Yeah.
I think the biggest lie things, like you said, is holding back feelings. Your true feelings towards a topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I generally don't volunteer information, like to my closest friends or the family members that are furthest away from me. I just don't tell the information. But if you're going to confront me or ask me about it, I'll typically tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That is not to say that I would tell white lies. I'm sure, you know, I lie as much, if not more, than most people about stupid, pointless things. But for the most part, if you ask me, I'll tell you right out.
Liar.
It's not true.
Anyone want to get anything off the chest? Not to any of us, to the listeners.
Nope, nothing here.
I think it's the lack of volunteering or the lack of talking that really kind of makes my girlfriend the most angry. Because I think that's probably maybe like one of the significant differences between the sexes. Like a guy considers it a chore and maybe even a duty to be able to share your feelings or what your thoughts are or what like your different conversation is. Whereas women like feel that it's a necessary part of the relationship, and if you don't start yabbering on about useless things or tell you about your day, then you're withholding information and not sharing in the relationship or something.
Absolutely, I have that problem.
Yeah,
in the
you know, talk to me about everything, and it's like, what you want to hear 8 hours of my work day? No, why would you want to hear that? I don't want to share that with you.
I get the same thing. It's hard. It's hard to communicate. I find it harder and harder as my marriage progresses. I find it harder and harder to communicate and just to keep you know everything about me already. It's like it's like up to that point, and my wife just wants to communicate. And I just don't know how to do it. It's so tough.
They want to hear everything. Like their question is like, "How was work today?" And my answer is fine. Their answer is like a freaking 2-hour diatribe
they did some study like a million years back, and I might be slightly off with my numbers. That like women say 20,000 words in a day, and a guy says 10,000. And 75% of the words that a guy says are before 5 p.m. and like 70% of what the women say are after 5 p.m. And it's really, wow. They actually did some studies. I'm trying to think where I read this exactly. And it wasn't like some place stupid. It was actually like a legitimate study. And then it's a realistic thing that women like to don't do their talking at work and they want to blow off their steam about it. Whereas the guy's been yammering the whole day and just doesn't want to be bothered and wants to relax.
No, I think it's like guys look at talking as a chore. And women look at talking as a hobby.
By the way, you're listening to Hear Us Talk, just so you know. Guys that have taken it upon themselves to talk to you at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, for 3 hours that don't want to talk.
It's a chore. It's a chore coming here and talking for 3 hours. I have to make up stuff to talk about. I actually have to sit down and plan about things that I'm going to do.
Like Fred? Sorry, Fred.
Yes.
I've been meaning to say that for a long time.
But it's not only talking, it's about communication, too, and having, like, I don't know, a bond. You still talk as much as you used to, Chris? You married for, what, six years now?
5 years. Much like my mother and I have a specific relationship, and there's a dynamic there that we respect and love and value and honor it the way that we choose to, with me yelling at her, my wife and I are fine. We just have our own thing. Like, we communicate fine, and we have an even keel thing that we do, and she knows that I'll hang out for a little bit, and then I need to go lock myself in a room and sit on Pal Talk for the rest of the night. It's fun. And she prefers that because then she gets to sit on Perez Hilton or Pink is the New Blog the whole night. Like that's our dynamic.
And plus,
that's
when you have kids, there's a lot of the conversations about the family household and stuff and things. Like, it's not just you and a significant other staring at each other all day long. So there's more things to talk about, chit chat, that fill up that just silence of, hey, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, to talk
there's
to
always something
too,
to talk
though.
About when you have kids, you know?
Do you have to talk to your kids, too? Like, do you actually have to sit down and communicate with your children?
I know.
And hug them and kiss them. Oh, my God.
Shocky McShockerton.
No, I'm serious. Do you actually...
I know. Shocky McShockerton. Enjoying time with your kids is actually something that people just do. It just naturally happens. You actually like spending time with your kids. It's not a job as much as you think it is.
So you've worked 12 hours a day. You're fighting traffic on the way to get home, and the whole time you're aching to get home so that you can communicate with your child.
100%.
Yeah. I asked how my daughter's day was. What did she do in school? We have a routine.
No. I'm not asking what my wife thinks about my daughter. I definitely want to go home and talk to my daughter. 100%.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Why would you want to talk to anyone? I'm not saying that you love your child more or less, but don't you just want to go home and not talk at all?
No, not with that little person. That little person, it's a different dynamic. Again, the same way that I want to have whatever conversations I'm having with my wife is one thing. My kid is just like, you know, she wants to tell me, Daddy, you're not going to believe what Uniqua did on the Backyardigans today. And as the stupid show is, I think it's fantastic that this little person thinks it's so important that something made her laugh that she wants to share it with me. F that. I want to know all that stupid gay crap. It's great.
Well, look who raised Brian. Like Mickey and Mallory raised him. I mean, he's like...
It's true. It's a good point.
Jesus. Well, I will say that, you know, you're bringing up the conversation with lying and truth. It instantly kind of hit me that there is someone in my life that I've been lying to.
Your PS3?
No.
Please, don't be blasphemous.
There is somebody in my life that I've been lying to, and I've been feeling a little guilty about it. And I'm not sure if, like, you guys will understand this, being from Staten Island or not. It's a different dynamic in Brooklyn. Where I live in Brooklyn, I've got maybe a. Or do you want to tear into me for something, Chris?
No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear what we possibly couldn't understand from the rough and tumble streets of Brooklyn and here on Staten Island. I need to know.
And I can't wait to see if this is going to be you lying about something that makes your life more convenient.
Yeah, it actually is. Well, in my neighborhood, within like maybe a 3-block radius from where I live, there's easily maybe seven or eight or nine bodegas that are within walking distance, and all of them are relatively the same distance apart. So, you know, they're all slightly different. Like, one caters to a different style of food, and one has like something they sell, one brand that I like, and the other one doesn't. You know. Doesn't sell that, but they'll sell the other thing, and they're all really anxious for my consumer dollar, as they are for everyone else. That they'll have lists out asking for you to like add things onto it because they want me to be part of their family. Like, they want me to show up and go to their bodega and buy it from them. And I feel like really guilty. Like, they manufacture this sort of like passive aggressive little friendliness where they walk in and they recognize you, and they'll point at you and like, hey, you're back. Look at you. You were just here 2 days ago. What do you need now? And all of that stuff. And it makes me feel guilty. Like, I'm cheating on them. Like, I'm going to the other bodega that sells this other brand, and I've got this other thing that they can't give this to me, so I have to go elsewhere to get this.
Do you walk across the street so they don't see you walking to the other side of the bodega?
Sometimes when I'm out shopping and I don't want to go to the grocery store, I'll do the little bodega circle, and I'll go to one bodega, and then instead of going to the next bodega, I'll go home and drop off the bodega bags because I don't want to walk in bodega number two with my bodega bags because they'll know I was cheating on them. I've been in a bodega. I walked in a bodega once because I didn't want to go the 2 blocks back home before, and they saw me with a different bodega bag, and they looked at me kind of – it was cold. It wasn't emotional, but that was the weird thing about it, because usually you walk in and they're like, hey, how you doing? And they know you, and they'll strike up conversation about, you know, your hair or whatever, something that just happened to you that they want to cater to you being part of their family. And they saw me with a different bag, and they didn't do that. They just told me the total and gave me the change, and out the door I was. They were very, like, cold and distant, and I felt like I had done them wrong. Well, I lied to them, and they were calling me out on it, and I bodega pride is something very weird and very, like, touchy, I think, in Brooklyn or in anywhere that
Brian, just so you know, I live on Staten Island, and the building that I lived in last year for a few years, there was a little store right across the street, and then there was another one like about half a block up across the street.
I know, I remember.
And I always traditionally went to the one that was closer to me. It was just a better store overall. And then the one across from there, they both got sold at the same time. Oh, I'm sorry, one of them closed, and then the one across the street got sold. And it got sold to this nice, super young couple in their early 20s. They were here from India, and they bought the store, and they're the nicest people in the world. And I started going there every day.
By the way, anytime I've gone to that store, they try and strike up a relationship with me. I don't even live there. They're terrific.
They look at your new meat. We got to get in this guy on the beginning.
Why is it going to be all sexy?
We want to get in on you on the ground floor so that you'll come back to us.
And so across the store across the street reopened. And it reopened like this super delicatessen, which meant it had a couple more things. And so at one point it was just kind of like one day I'm walking out and I go – and the other one happens to be closed. On Sunday they were always open, but they happened to be closed. And I'm like, I'm like – all right, because for a while I was walking the extra 70 feet or whatever to go to their store, to continue going to their store. I went to this one, and I walked in, and it's nice and new, and there's all this stuff around, and I'm like, wow. And they're all like, oh, hey, how are you? You know.
And you looked out, as you were getting rung up, you looked out the door and saw the guy who runs the other store with one tear running down his face like the Indian from the old 70s commercial.
Like I was tossing litter everywhere. And so I go in there, buy something, and then the next day – I see that my regular store is open, and I walk out, and then I kind of freeze, and I look over to the right, and I see the lore of this new store. Like, we're closer, and we're better, and we're cleaner. And so from that point on, I would start, like, I would still buy one specific thing. If I bought Red Bull, I would still buy it at the store across the street.
Even though they sell it at the Super Deli.
Right. But yes. For everything else, I started going to this one, and as I would go, I would cross the street, and I would just glance over my shoulder and make sure they weren't standing outside, and then I would walk really fast to go in.
Dude, I'm telling you, Bodega Pride is strong.
Can I explain to you? And I too, Brian, am not from. I don't live in Brooklyn. I'm from Staten Island. But this is in reference to Manhattan, where I work. My company recently moved offices, and I used to work in a particular office on Madison Avenue that actually had not quite a bodega, but like a little deli type thing downstairs. You know, you can't get 40s there, so to me, it's not a real bodega. But a deli downstairs with a guy was the greatest guy in the world. He ordered specific sodas when I asked for them, and as you guys know, when I get a wild hair up my ass, I want specific weird sodas. Like he was the guy that I asked him if he would get me that cocaine energy drink. He's the one that got it for
jalapeno Welch's.
Oh my god, I would love jalapeno Welch's. It'd be the greatest. But yeah, so he was the guy that, like, when I was, I really love the diet. I want a diet berries and cream Dr. Pepper. The next day, they were at this store. He bought them specifically for me. He was the best guy ever. My company moved from that building to another building 15 blocks south of where I was. So there's no way that I'm going back to this guy. But as a result, now the building that I am in, I've been in this building now for over a year. I still have not gone to the deli inside the building here because I feel like I'd be cheating on the guy from the other building. Because, no, there's only one building deli guy that I can go to. And I say deli. It's not even like there's a deli counter. It was just like a soda joint, little snack bar, whatever.
And you still go to this dude?
No.
He just doesn't go to anyone.
No, I'll go to somebody outside. I'll go to a guy outside. I'll go to the guy at the bodega across the street. Okay. And that's fine. But I can't go to another building guy. And she's the nicest lady in the world downstairs. She has a little sign. She has ice. We now have ice cream. It's so exciting that she got the ice cream.
She's got one line. It's like 1870.
Oh, she's the best, maybe. But I wouldn't know because I've never spoken to her ever. I've never gone into her store, and I never will.
You know what, too?
Because I'm not cheating on my old guy.
Well, I can also understand, Brian. I can appreciate bringing your groceries home because I would go to like a bagel store, which was far away, because if I wanted good bagels, I wasn't going to either of these places. And then I would remember, oh, I have to grab something else, and I would stop. And like my building is 30 feet this way, and the store is 30 feet up to the other direction, and I would say, I have to bring this upstairs first. I can't walk in there with this big bag because they'll be all sad, because then I'm cheating on both of them. So my question is, though, did you ever get caught? Because I did.
I was going to say I recently got caught. I got a good story where I got snagged, and it took me by total surprise. I was speechless. I was stammering when it was happening. I pretty much go to one big bodega pretty consistently, but they're my main guys, and whatever they don't sell, I go to the other ones to fill in the blanks. My main guy I kind of know really well. There's two guys that kind of work there. I know them on and off. And I was going to one of the other places to fill in the blanks. When I went to the other place to fill in the blank, as I walked in, I didn't look at the guy at the counter because I'm not particularly friendly with that one. And I just, like, went in the aisles and I picked up the item. I can't remember what it was. I got to the counter. The guy working at the counter was one of the main guys at my home bodega.
The other place.
He was there. He was working at the – and I was like, oh.
You should have said, oh, you work here too?
Well, I looked at him and I was like, what are you doing here? Like, I had a look of desperation. I wasn't quite complete in my sentences.
Need I point out to you, he was cheating on the store, so what difference would it make?
Well, I asked him, and he's like, I'm filling in for this guy. He is on vacation, so he asked me to work for him while he's on vacation for the week, so I'm like watching his shop for him. But no, we don't own this together like I own one in here. And he was kind of real quiet. No. He was very kind, and he would look at me in the eyes and then look away, and it was a very kind of sad exchange. But I totally got bagged.
I hope he wasn't making your food or anything.
I think I actually might have said the words "I'm sorry." What, somewhere in that conversation, I might have actually apologized. I don't know why, but I just felt like I had to.
As a consumer, I never feel that guilt. I'll go in with three bags from all different types of stores and go into that. This person should be happy. I'm buying the one thing there. Why do you guys feel guilty?
You know,
I don't understand.
I don't know.
I got to tell you too. I got caught twice, and I got caught first. First, I got caught the day I'm coming out of the new super glamorous store. I see the girl standing outside.
I love that it's glamorous. It's glamorous because it's 12 feet closer.
It's better lit.
Bigger too.
It's bigger. It's better lit.
No, I've been in there. No, it is kind of nice.
Clean. It's nice. So I'm coming out. Not that the other store's not clean, but so I'm coming out and I look up to the right, and I was always this fear. I would walk really fast, like towards that. Towards the train station where I used to live, there was a big parking lot, and I'm walking, and I look up to the right, and sure enough, I see the girl out there, and she kind of looked at me. The best is she like looks away. She looked at me and looked down, like, and I was just like,
it's like an ex girlfriend.
So then I went in there the next day, and she's like, oh hi, I haven't seen you in a while. And I
was just, where like, have you been?
But it's sadder almost. She's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I've been around, I've been working a lot. And she's like, oh, and she's like, oh, did you find...
Where, at the store up the street? Is that where you've been working?
She's like, did you find everything you needed? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. Let us know if not, because we can order stuff you need. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And then a part of me really wanted to say, you saw me across the street, didn't you? But I didn't. I just said, okay, thank you.
What you should have said, oh, you know what you should order? Those things I got across the street over there. They're awesome.
You know, there's something else going. There's another dynamic in my neighborhood that kind of feeds into this as well. I live in Park Slope, Brooklyn, which has been one of like the major parts of Brooklyn that's been gentrifying. Early on in the whole process, and still another little sort of block or nook of that will kind of
start falling. I think it was the first one, even before Williamsburg.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like it was where like the old hipsters went to die and have children and stuff. And it's big enough that it still hasn't completely been overwhelmed yet. But every month or so, another store will open up, and a store called Union Market has opened up in sort of like right in the middle of the local area that sells. It's a market, so it's like maybe two or three bodegas worth in size, but it sells yuppie type food. So it's like the really rich kind of.
Is this the place you pointed out to me on the way in today?
I don't recall if I did that. Oh, no. That's a
different yuppie place.
Yeah, that's a different yuppie place. That's a fancy yuppie place.
It's the place to get quinoa in the neighborhood, right?
This is a place, like everything's It's more expensive and nicer, fancier food, but it's less expensive than it should be because they buy it in like huge numbers. And it's a part of a chain that's been growing throughout Brooklyn. But I'll go there for like their meats or their produce because their stuff is a lot fresher. So I'll come in and they have like the name of the market on their bags and everything. And I'll take that bag into one of the other bodegas to get my Coke or something, my Cherry Coke, which they're not selling at the Yuppie Joint. And they see that I've got one of their bags in there, and it's literally across the street from them, so they know that there's a bunch of people. That's like that market is trying to edge the bodegas out of the market, and I'm buying into it. So,
I mean, but do you think these people have a serious hatred for you after that? After you guys got caught?
Well, the second time I got caught was there's a liquor store a couple blocks away from same where I used to live, not where I am now. There's a liquor store up the block, and same guy used to be in there every time I went in there. And then one day I went to a liquor store, which is probably maybe across the street and a little bit over from Chris's house in the shopping center right where he lives. And I go in there, and the guy from the other liquor store is in there. And I walk in.
Can I point out to you? I was with Keith in the store. It was a Sunday. It was after when we were doing Best in Show on Sundays. And Keith freaked out and actually came over and he said, dude, the guy from my regular liquor store is here in this store. He's going to see me buying liquor
That's
at another place.
Awful.
This and actually happened on a Sunday after a show. And I totally remember this now.
Liquor's a big deal. That's even more than bodegas. That's hardcore.
I kind of hid from him and I thought everything was all right. And then the next time I go in the other store, he's like, something's up. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up?
You're
like,
back.
He's like, and this brother right here, they're trying to steal him over at the other place.
Oh, no.
I was just like, oh, man.
Yet he works there. Yet he'll show up and he'll work
there. And then he left angry. He was fighting with the other guy in the other store, and he left all angry. And then he saw one of his own customers in there. It was just, I didn't even know there's liquor store wars going on.
You riled him up. Your face riled him up.
He was there with a peace offering, and then wow. Now it's smallpox from here on in.
Bodega Pride runs thick.
So you think these people really hate you, bro, when you come back in? You think that one time just totally ruined it for them?
They don't hate me, but I do sense – maybe I'm being a little too sensitive about it, but I do sense that they're disappointed. They're disappointed that I'm taking – their money elsewhere because they should be making that. And you know, they listen to me. They have garnered a relationship, and they
you have a better relationship with your bodega cashier than you do with your mother. That is a horrible, horrible thing.
You might be right,
or beautiful, depending on your perspective.
You might be right.
From Brian's mother's from Brian's mother's perspective, horrible. From Brian's perspective, fantastic. It's everything you wanted. It's everything you wanted it to be.
Hey, but he calls him his friend every time he comes in. He's his
friend. Come on, don't be ridiculous. Stop being ridiculous. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. You want to be a part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger, all that stuff. It's a magic, magic wonderland. And for the record, we are a slug-free program. A slug-free program. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, you wouldn't understand because you're not in Pal Talk chat room, so you don't understand anything. And hey, if you aren't, you aren't. You got to be here to understand what the hell I'm talking about. I don't know what. I like to do little secret messages sometimes. Just little secrets. Little tiny secrets. Speaking of tiny secrets, you know, Brian had his little discussion there for a little bit, talking about, hey, I'm from Brooklyn, you guys are from Staten Island, maybe you wouldn't understand. I guess a little part of me gets a little tinge of anger, a little bit of something, whatever you say, anything, anti-Staten Island-ish. Yeah. Not so much because...
You wouldn't understand, Brian, you're from Brooklyn.
Exactly. Not so much because I love Staten Island. I just don't like – I take issue with people that are judgmental of something else when it's not theirs. It's not this – you know, I guess the way that a black guy can say the N-word type thing almost, I guess, is the concept.
Or the way that you refer to Brooklyn as the filthiest place on the planet.
Right, but I'm from Brooklyn.
Oh, so you're allowed.
Exactly. I'm a black guy. Exactly.
So you're allowed to make fat jokes, sternum jokes, Italian jokes.
Exactly.
Wait, so I could call
– I spend 6 hours a week in Staten Island.
Right.
That's enough. So I deserve the right to call this place a stinkhole.
But it's not. It's a beautiful...
Oh, it's not. I'm sorry.
You know what comes out? Okay. I guess with, to a certain extent, you have a little bit more credence than the average person because you do spend a lot of time here. What it comes down to is about a week ago, I was one of my coworkers invited me on Facebook to take a Facebook quiz to find out which borough of New York City you are. Ha ha ha. It's so silly and fun and stupid. But whatever. I wasn't going to take it. I couldn't care less. The only reason why I even looked at it is because someone that I work with did it, and he sent it over to me, and I looked at his page to see it and saw him complaining, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I'm Staten Island. What the F? Why'd I get stuck with Staten Island? And he's a dude who's from the Bronx who lives in Jersey now. He lives in Hoboken now. And he's like, it's just like, what the hell? What is your beef with Staten Island? Then I look at all of his friends, a bunch of people not from Staten Island, talking crap on Staten Island as non-Staten Islanders. And don't get me wrong, like I'm saying, Staten Island sucks balls. This is maybe one of the worst places on the planet. But I'm allowed to say that because I live here and I suffered through it. Okay, Brian, I guess you can to a certain extent say something because you're here sometimes. You know, you're here, you know, fairly often, I guess. But the anti-Staten Island sentiment from non-Staten Islanders just irritated the living hell out of me.
I can understand that. If they don't have an experience with it, just to out of hand trash a place because it's crappy in much the the same way that Northerners just say the South is stupid. A bunch of, like, backwards redneck, you know, racist pricks live in Texas, and they maybe have never set foot in Texas.
Hey, you better be careful. Our buddy Walter Sobchak's listening. He heard everything you just said.
That's what a lot of people from New York think, and at the very least, that's what most people in Texas think that a lot of people from New York are thinking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that anti-Staten Island sentiment runs pretty deep. And mostly from people who have never set foot in Staten Island.
That was the thing, I guess, that made me the craziest about it, is all these people, oh, man, sucks that you got Staten Island, sucks, oh, it's so beat, whatever, oh, yeah, oh, I feel bad for you. And I went down the list, and I started clicking on all these people's names. It's like, you stupid motherfucker, you can't even believe you bastards have such a problem. And again, I don't have Staten Island pride. I couldn't care less. But don't get me wrong, I joke around all the time about how it's the jewel of the sea. It's the most beautiful place in the world. I love it. It's fantastic. It's a crappy place just like any place else to live. There's nothing great about it. There's nothing terrible about it. Just another place. But as I'm clicking on all these people who are saying, oh, man, I can't believe you don't get the Bronx, you didn't get Staten Island, are all people from Jersey. They're all people from Jersey that aren't even New York people that are complaining about, oh, stupid Staten Island, whatever. Like, you're not even a New Yorker. Get out of here. You're not even allowed to be part of this discussion. I hate you. I don't want to stab your face.
That's like douche. That's like the Puerto Ricans making fun of the blacks. That's pretty much what it is. The people from New Jersey are constantly catching crap from New Yorkers that they are willing to just attack the next lower minority on the rung and lambast them for being like even more ridiculous. That's just people being,
old school. It's old school.
That's just people being people. Wow. They're willing to lash out. They're catching a lot of crap from everyone else, so they're gonna pour it on,
but they're pouring it on when they have no right to pour anything on. It's
almost like Brian does. Brian is not a New York Citier. He's a New York Stater. He was born in Albany.
Absolutely,
he has
the Brooklyn boy from Albany. Exactly,
he's probably spent more years in Albany than he has in Brooklyn.
Absolutely, actually, he's probably spent more years in California than either. But that's another whole story.
That reminds me of one night when this girl from years ago, I was at this place, and this girl that was an NYU student that had just moved there from Illinois was referring to people as the Bridge and Tunnel crowd.
Oh, yes,
like, well, who the hell are you, the Greyhound crowd?
Plus, I bet you she lives
the
in
Delta crowd. We flew in.
What's best about that is she probably lives in Brooklyn. Like, she actually is a Bridge and Tunnel person. She doesn't know it, but she is.
But people might think that you had some Staten Island pride, you know, the way that you reacted to that, Chris.
I think Staten Island is terrible.
I think it's a place. You think every place would be terrible.
Right. No matter where you live, there's something awful about it, and there's probably something quaint or neat. There's something good about every place, and there's something crap about every place. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure. And being from this place, whether the type of person you are, you either focus on what you think is the awesome about it, or you think what's the crap about it, or somewhere in the middle. For people that are not from a place to have it, like, I remember, what was it? Was it the guy, Brooklyn Vegan?
Oh, but the big Rock the Harbor thing where everyone was passing.
He bashed Staten Island.
Well, it wasn't him, to be fair, but it was everyone on his website.
But it was through his website, right. Same thing. Bunch of jerks from Brooklyn talking crap on Staten Island. Like, shut up. And again, because the same way, like you're saying, there are people that aren't from Brooklyn. There are people from Albany that moved to Brooklyn. There are people from Iowa that moved to Brooklyn that are, you know, they have their Brooklyn pride and they're bashing Staten Island. Whatever.
It's the simple fact that Staten Island happens to be one of the most remote parts of New York City. Of the five boroughs, it's hard to get into and out of it, and for the simple reasons of transport.
Beautiful boat ride.
It's for the
beautiful, beautiful boat ride just by Lady Liberty.
For the simple reason of transportation purposes, it becomes a place that is accessible to a lesser part of the population.
We refer to ourselves as the upper echelon. That's who can actually get out here.
If a person either chooses to live in or comes to New York City, they're coming to New York City to experience Manhattan. And the closest that they can live to Manhattan will be either, you know, somewhere in downtown Manhattan or in Midtown or in a Brooklyn or a Queens. Having to live in Staten Island and commute into and out of it without having like a car or something is a lot of work. It's a lot of toil. And for that reason, you wouldn't choose to. So you would, in fact, if you wanted to have the New York experience, you'd live in one of the other four boroughs.
But that's not true. That is what you are defining the New York experience as. We are still part of New York, and it's a different aspect of a New York experience.
Don't try and
gloss over and say that the other four are the New York experience and Staten Island is not. It's just a different New York.
I didn't say that. I said the people, a person who comes.
It's not the New York experience is my point.
Yeah, a person who comes. Oh, yeah, I think you heard what I said.
Right. And I heard it.
So Staten Island sucks. You agree?
Nope. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I was like, whatever. Go back to Albany. Loser. Douchebag.
Hey, it's the capital.
It's true. It's true.
Albany. What?
But you would get that amped if somebody just disagreed with you, say, about a TV show or like a sporting event.
I don't care that they hate. I wouldn't care if a Staten Islander hated Staten Island. I hated being bashed from someone on the outside about it. That's what irritated me about it. It's not the fact that Staten Island is so bad. And again, even Brian, it doesn't bother me so much from Brian because he's here. And he has a right to make fun
and
of
he's
the crappiness
dealing with,
because he deals with the crappiness.
He's dealing with the public transportation at least twice a week. And that gives someone a reason or at least puts them in a position to judge a major part of a place.
In that respect, Chris, say we have a Miami listener. And he hears you talking about the Miami Dolphins all the time. And he's saying, what is this?
What
show is
he listening to? We never talk about the Dolphins on here. The greatest team in the history of football. Only perfect season ever. Thank you very much.
Some dude from Miami is saying, what does this guy know about Miami Dolphins? He's a Staten Islander. You know, what is he talking about Miami for? I mean, can't you see that?
Why is he talking about a team of athletes that none of them are from Miami that just happen to be located here?
Sure, but you know, people have pride in their team just as much as they have pride in where they live.
Right, and I have pride in my team. My team, the Miami Dolphins.
And New Yorkers are saying, why isn't he a Giants or Jets fan?
Because those teams suck.
Because he's not. He doesn't live in New York.
Because they're from
Staten
Jersey.
Island.
And he's made it apparent how he feels about Jersey.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm from Staten Island. They're from Jersey.
Because the Giants and the Jets talk crap on Staten Island all the time.
But I mean, I could see it, you know. I could see where you're coming from. I can.
I just don't think it's right for people to attack my fine borough that's a piece of crap, but it's my piece of crap. And let me call it a piece of crap. Let Keith call it a piece of crap. Let Fred call it a piece of crap. Don't tread on me, okay?
Damn it. I will, for the record.
It's so nice here, though, right?
It's awesome. It's awesome to walk down the street and have everyone in their yard, instead of saying hi, stare at you like you're there to rob them or something.
In their defense, you had a mask over your face and a gun in your hand. You were actually trying to rob them.
Not important. Not important.
The ninja burglar.
Well, Staten Island, there's one thing it does have. And that's
Balducci's Pizza, according to Bosco Pratt in the Heroes Talk Room, which is fantastic.
Where is that?
Amboy Road, my friend. Come on, it's delicious.
Was that like a read?
I think so. Yeah, they owe us $7, or at least one slice, if I pay for it.
They have a bunch of libraries on Staten Island. They got a bunch of libraries,
Staten Island,
which aren't. Perhaps...
No, dude, that's a product of the Brooklyn school system. That just said that, okay?
I didn't say library, really.
No, you didn't.
Okay. I make enough mistakes. I make enough word mistakes, like saying that.
No, let me ask you something, guys. I didn't say library, right?
Like saying I had to clean the floor with pneumonia that time. I wake up and get mad about that one. But anyway, they do have a bunch of libraries, and I go on the library website a lot, and I order books. By order, I mean I have them, like, send books from different libraries to the one by my house, and a lot of times I don't make it there to pick it up.
So you're so lazy now, you can't even pick up a book.
Well, when
you're making people, first of all, you're making library people get the book from a different library that you can't go to, get it to their library, and then don't even pick it up.
And it happens a lot because I accidentally sent it to the wrong one, a bunch of things, and I couldn't cancel them because of their website. I couldn't cancel it. And every time it was there, I just didn't make it over there. So I started feeling bad. And then, like, I started feeling bad in general about using the library. Is that... Do you feel bad about using the library? Is it like, should I feel bad? Should I be like contributing money to them or something to be using it that much?
Yes, you should be contributing money. Everyone should be contributing money to the library system.
Even if you don't use it?
If you're going to volunteer money to like any city or state services, the library is a great place for that. Because they always need money, and they'll always use it. There's like not a lot of it lost in bureaucracy. They actually purchase products and actually put together programs. They get paid squat. The people who work there get paid almost nothing, and they put almost all of their money into services and product for the community. It's great.
Our buddy the Green Ninja is pointing out in the Pal Talk room, we already do in our taxes. Is that true? Part of our tax dollars go to funding?
I think many I have to assume that they do get some sort of tax money, but it's not nearly enough to support. They're constantly running low on funds. They rarely have enough money. They're always asking for volunteer support for every one of their processes.
And I have in the past, not this year, but I have in the past donated money to the library, no more than I think maybe $75. But
can I point something out, though, Keith? You're unemployed. You don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You are precisely the person that the library is designed for. You should not feel bad about not donating to a library.
True.
It's fine. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be great if you took some of your old books that you're never going to read again and donated them to the library. That might be a nice thing to do. But you shouldn't feel like you have to. You're, like I said, there's no reason.
You can also donate your time if you feel up to it. Like, you can actually volunteer. I did. I was an adult literacy tutor for many libraries, including the one in Brooklyn, for years. But yeah, they're constantly asking for volunteers. You don't want to do money. You can go in there and do work for them. And you also shouldn't feel guilty about using those services. Like, when you get them to bring a book from one library to another, it just stays in that library until someone else from another library brings it to theirs. Like, they have enough space and place. They're not going to return it or bring it back to a certain place. It's going to stay there until someone asks for it.
I have like 12 books out right now from the library. And I don't know why it is. For some reason, I always just like – I don't feel bad for the people working there because they're getting paid. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just feel bad. Sometimes for the institution in general, I feel like and honestly, you know what?
I feel so bad that I'm making use of this service that they have here. In this,
well, it's mostly when I do what I said, which is not pick them up, because then I feel like it's now costing them money to bring the books over.
Nope.
By the way, I just want to point out that our buddy Walter Sobchak's pointing out the ridiculousness of us, that we're taking a big stand here. Donate to libraries. It's good. I mean, we make some cutting-edge statements. Yeah,
we say what other people are afraid to.
Lots of people when people are giving money to things, they're the last place they think often is a library. They'll give to Amnesty International or Feed the Poor or some other popular national or international place. But how many people have you heard of that are giving money to a library?
It's funny you said that. Two years ago, I also donated money to a library, and this girl I work with, we were saying something about talking about writing off tax, which I never did, but writing things off at tax time, and I said, oh, well, the only charity money I gave this year was to the New York Public Library, and she says, oh, really? Just like kind of rolls her eyes like, oh, weird. Like why would you do that?
Should have been like, they named a wing after me, honey. That much money.
Chicken wing. You shouldn't feel guilty about having them move the books back and forth because they're constantly delivering things between them anyway. That's just part of kind of the thing. What you should feel guilty about is screwing the person who's waiting for that book that you've had for 12 weeks. If you've taken out a book and you're like keeping it overdue, they're charging you a fine, not because they're looking to collect money. They're trying to make it hurt you because they know there's three people who are waiting for that book.
To be fair, I've paid about $500 in fines over the past
That's
3 years.
That's awful.
It's so not I've probably helped them out a lot.
That means that you've had books for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. That means that I keep books and then everything expires, and then I get the $170 letter from a collection agency, and when I have money, I go in and pay it. And then I'm back in business.
This library that you don't go to, would it be called Planet Library?
No. Oddly enough, it's next door.
Oh, no.
To my house.
Don't take out 12 books at once if you're not going to read them all.
Oh, I'm in the middle of reading them. Well, to be fair, I've read 5 of the 12 that I have out right now, including the ice shirt, which we've discussed, I think, on this show here in the past.
So take out 5 books instead of 12.
Is that book any good?
It's good. You should check it out.
Let me borrow that. I would love to check that out. Sounds like a great book.
It'd be great if Keith lent it to you and you read it and you really liked it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Don't call it the ice shirt. Call it something different. Like, give it a different title.
Keith loans me his one that he took out from the library and I read it.
And you fall in love with it.
Put a photocopy of something else on it.
As a result of this conversation about the ice shirt, that is actually starting to gain a little legs in the Heroes Talk community. We have listeners now that are reading the ice shirt. They've emailed
really?
Me and told me that
what?
They're reading up on it. Yeah.
Oh, please send
listeners
your...
or listener. One guy that you know?
Listener.
Okay.
Who I lent the book to.
Okay. Your friend Keith.
All right. Oh,
your friend Keith is reading the book.
Damn it. It doesn't sound so sexy when you say it.
That's great. Speaking of lending, Mr. Chris, here's your Bottle Rocket DVD back.
Thank you, God. I've been dying to put this back in my shelf and not watch it. Like, really, I felt naked without it.
I'm surprised you didn't open it and see if the DVD was in there. That's the first
I'm
thing
hoping that he accidentally put a porno in there instead. Nope.
Fred.
Nope. It's just Dignan in there.
That reminds me, Fred, how did you enjoy The American Astronaut? It was good, right?
Forgot it, you loved it to me.
Ooh.
I'm going to watch it this week.
Forgetting you even have it is better than forgetting you watched it.
Yeah, I really did. I had it on my table ready to watch, and I guess my wife had cleaned the day after, and then it wasn't there anymore. I didn't even realize it until...
Your wife stole it? Is that what you're suggesting?
Your wife stole
the movie? Great.
I'll watch it, though. I'll watch it. Definitely.
Don't make me force it on you. I don't want to ice shirt you into this.
I'll give it back to you. Don't worry. You'll get it back, Brian.
That's not what I'm asking.
You'll get it back, dude.
Serious.
So I have a little dilemma that I've been going through. I wanted you guys to help me. It's not a dilemma. It's a thing that I want you to tell me if I'm doing the right thing or if I'm doing the wrong thing.
Yes, you should use the library.
Okay, that I do. That I'll do.
Love Staten Island. Yes, that's the right thing
that'll
to do.
That'll do, too. Merkin?
Go to the Merkin shop. It's the perfect thing to do.
You're wrong. Let me clear it. Whatever it is, you're wrong.
I work in a school, and I have a little kid that I watch.
Walter Sopcich, by the way, has suggested, Fred, anything you've done, wrong. I love that.
And I go to lunch with this little child, and the little child brings cold lunch with him. And we all know what cold lunch is. You bring it. It's a bag lunch. Cold lunch. You get your cold lunch. Hot lunch is the lunch that you get from the school. You go there, and you get a hot lunch. Now, my child gets both. He brings his own lunch, and he, as well, gets hot lunch. And now
he's a great big fat person. Is what we're saying. He gets the hot lunch and brings a little extra from home.
He's 6 years old. The kid is thin as could be,
but he
only eats his cold lunch, and his cold lunch consists of Wonder Bread and one slice of American cheese, and that's what he eats for lunch. He'll eat the sandwich, but he'll still get up and get his hot lunch and not eat a bite.
What's
of it.
What's he do with it?
He doesn't eat a bite of it. Just stays there, and then I say you got to go throw it out when we're ready to go. So now on Fridays, it's pizza day. And pizza day is great. I love pizza. And every Friday, he gets his pizza and he doesn't eat it. And I'm like, this pizza's going to go to waste. I can't let this pizza go to waste.
You've been eating this kid's lunch.
So, like, the past couple of Fridays, and on an occasional Wednesday when it's mozzarella stick day.
And on an occasional Tuesday when you forget lunch money at home.
Stop bringing in lunch. Just eat the kid's hot lunch. He's going to throw it away.
If he's going to throw it away. Now it's getting to the point where, like, he gets choices, and I'm like, on Friday, I'm like, go get Mr. Gunch a slice of pizza. Like, I'm telling him what to get.
Extra sauce. Get him extra sauce.
Am I doing the wrong thing or the right thing? Because I'm not wasting. I think it's going to go to waste.
Okay. I don't understand where any place in your mind you can think that you're doing the right thing. I can understand how you can think, hey, is it that bad or is it not that bad? But there's no part of you that honestly believes any place in there, I'm doing the right thing because I'm saving from waste. You're not really believing that. You are, to go back to a previous conversation, lying to yourself to try and justify it in your mind.
I disagree.
You can't believe that you think it's right.
His parents are feeding you. I mean, isn't there going to be a report back to the parents saying, listen, you spend money on hot lunch and the kid doesn't eat it?
Well, here's...
Eventually, the kid is going to say that he's not eating his lunch, and they're going to ask, where does his lunch go? And they're going to say, they're going to say, my teacher takes the lunch.
See, because
your teacher does what?
He gets his cold lunch. But even on the hot lunches where I don't have, like when they have chicken wings or something that I don't eat.
Chicken wings.
Like he'll never even take a bite of it. And, you know, it'll just go to waste. I'm like, I wish I ate chicken. I would eat this kid's chicken wings.
You know, me and Brian are unemployed. You can bring us home.
Bag at home?
By the way, just so we understand the consensus in the Pal Talk room, Oikara, wrong. Steve Larper, that's the wrong thing, dude. Jesus Christ, Walter Sopcich. It's ironic Fred tells Chris to apologize to his mom, but steals from a child. You're maybe the worst person who's ever lived.
Granted, listen, I wait 10 or 15 minutes into the lunch period.
But DJ Newstyle points out, eat up, man.
Thank you. Okay. Newstyle, thank you.
Okay,
I give the kid a chance. I give him 10 or 15 minutes. If there's no bite in that sandwich or pizza, I'm going for it.
Do you at least ask him for it?
Yes, I do.
All right. You don't just take it.
I say, hey, little guy.
Yeah, he asks him, get up and go get me that slice. That's asking.
Do you
Do you tell
hey, fat ass, you had two meals. Well, give me something now.
But when the kid gives you a bagel, do you tell him you didn't get enough cream cheese on this?
Sometimes I will. I'll tell him to go up and get me a napkin.
But Fred, just think, what happens if he's really hungry? He's not going to eat it. He's going to want to give it to his teacher now. Like, he's not going to want to.
In Fred's defense, he's saying that the kid never eats it anyway, and I can understand that. It just seems like you shouldn't be eating it, though. It seems like it should just stay with whatever with the school and let the school do what they do. Let them donate it to whatever shelter they're going to.
They don't donate it. They throw it out in a black bag, yeah, and it all goes to the trash.
Then go around back of the school and eat out of the garbage bag. That's what you should do. There's a homeless man that you're stealing from his buffet. Okay? Let him enjoy.
Well, I will say this. It seems inevitable. Like, eventually, that kid unwittingly is going to out you to his parents, and his parents are going to find out that his teacher has been eating the lunch that they're paying for, and they are going to
flip know what?
Out.
And the parents are not going to think that the kid doesn't eat it. He's going to think that that's not going to be the case. He's going to think that the teacher is eating his lunch. And even though the kid doesn't eat it, they're not going to believe my little boy doesn't eat his hot lunch. He's not eating it because he's giving it to you.
You know what? You should maybe straighten this out with the parents. I mean, you should not ask the parents to consider to continue feeding you for lunch, but you should tell the parents your son isn't eating his hot lunch. Stop giving him money for it.
Or at the very least, tell his parents what you like.
Okay, how about at the end of the year?
Two cheese sandwiches,
how about at the
please?
End of the year, I put a $20 bill in his pocket.
You've eaten more than $20 worth of pizza already.
No, I think it's really cheap hot lunch. I think it's like $20 for the whole year. What if I just put a 20 in his pocket and be on his way and he finds a 20?
Here's an idea. Here's a great idea.
He finds a 20.
How about you put a 20 in the pocket of the guy who owns the pizzeria around the corner from the school and just buy pizza on your own time?
But it's being wasted.
It's not being wasted.
It's
being put to good use the way it's going to.
And dude, I eat it, so no one like, so none of the other adults like see me eating it. I eat it like I'm a like the chick from Different Strokes eating the birthday cake.
So you're sitting, you're hiding in a stall in the bathroom, shoveling slices of pizza into your mouth.
That's what I'm doing. It's horrible. I binge. I don't purge it, but I binge it, man.
Do you really hate your wife?
No, why? Why would you say that?
These things you put her through, having to find out.
I told her that.
Stealing the toilet paper.
I was just going to say, he steals children's pizza. He steals toilet paper from the bathrooms.
I swear to God, I told her that the other day. I confessed that to her like maybe a week ago, and she says, you shouldn't say that out loud. You should never say that again, and you should stop doing what you're doing. But I can't. I can't stop doing it. I just think it's so wasteful, and I know it's wrong on some level, I guess. But I think if I pay the kid back at the end of the year, I think I'm resolved.
That makes it even worse.
No, it doesn't.
Because then
he's a prostitute. You're paying him for the filthy service that he's providing you of stealing food.
It's a delicious service. It's not a
okay. No, well, filthily delicious.
School hot lunch, pretty good.
Can't you, as a teacher, pay the
donate
school?
To your hot lunch program, by the way. In addition to libraries, donate to the hot lunch program in your town so people like Fred can get a nice bite. They're starving out there. Pothead hungry. Gotta help him.
I suddenly don't feel bad about using the library. Yes.
You know what? I bet you happened with this kid. Not to drag this out, but I am. I bet you the parents didn't know. It's like, oh, this hot lunch. Like, same thing. My daughter went to kindergarten for this year, first year. And when we gave her cold lunch, she was a finicky eater and whatnot. But then she'll say, oh, yeah, they had pizza. And like, oh, man, are we depriving our child by not letting her have hot lunch? Maybe they say, well, will you go to school with this? And if you don't want to eat that, you bring it home. And you could eat the hot lunch. So they give them the choice. Mm-hmm. That's probably what's happening.
As much as I want to vilify Fred here, I don't think that the first day that he had two meals that you said yoink and just snapped something out of his hand.
This was a month.
He waited and he saw that the kid wasn't eating it and they were just wasting it. And he said, hey, you know what, let me cash you.
I think it's entirely natural. Like the fifth plate of tater tots that are just sitting there taunting you. Just wait,
so
just
good.
Like eat me. You have to eat that. I can understand not throwing that away.
There was one day there was tater tots and I ate them and I say, go up and say you dropped them. Go up and say you dropped them.
Wait a minute.
Now it's wrong. Now it's wrong. Now you're blatantly stealing.
And these are special needs kids. Not. Don't be getting. Don't talk that way.
So you could have dropped them.
He probably did. And you
just
ate them.
Just say you feared that he was allergic to everything you ate. You didn't want it near him.
That's a good idea.
Very good point. Walter Sobchak suggests, Chris, you don't need to vilify him. His own words and actions do that for him.
What if I wanted to test it if it was poison? You ever get that?
Did you know those other taters?
That's a great point.
It's not poison. I ate it all.
That other food was going to be wasted behind the counter, too. That's why you had him go get it.
It's very true. It's the lying show, by the way, here. It's best in show. So, yeah, someone could have poisoned it. Someone might have actually accidentally dropped some sort of arsenic in the tater tots, and you were going to test it.
Above and beyond. I say, like, an award for him.
Those lunch ladies look suspect. That's all I have to say.
You got to tell the parents. You're in contact with the parents. You have to tell the parents.
Right. I'm not going to do that. Definitely not.
Then you're going to get caught.
I'll watch my back.
All right. Do be careful when you eat it.
There's no way that I can resist Pizza Fridays. Like, maybe mozzarella stick day.
What's on Monday?
Monday, they have chicken wings.
All right, good. So you don't eat meat. Oh, what about Wednesday?
That's right.
Tuesday, they'll have, like, fish sticks. Which I don't really am not into. I'll eat it, but I'm not really that into it.
I'll eat this, but I don't have to like it.
Exactly. Wednesday's like a hamburger day. Thursday's mozzarella stick day. And then Friday, pizza day. Thursday and Friday,
you
I
take this
resist.
Kid's food every day that it's something you'll eat.
Thursday and Friday.
Every day that it's something you'll eat. You don't even like fish sticks and you'll eat them.
Yeah.
Do you not bring your own lunch those days?
No, I still bring my own lunch.
Friday morning.
He just throws it away.
Friday morning. You can either sleep a little late. Or make your lunch. Do you not think in the back of your head, it is pizza day and he's not going to eat his pizza?
Yes. Yes. That does go through my head.
Have you ever not made the lunch? You're like, well, what the hell? It's Friday. I know it's pizza day. I'm getting the pizza. Why bother making this sandwich? Because I'm not going to eat it anyway.
Yes. Sometimes I'll skip my lunch. I will. But I'll bring it just in case that he wants to eat it. I always, in the back of my mind, give him the chance. If he wants to eat it, he'll eat it.
You ever make yourself like a half-hearted lunch? Like it's a piece of bread, I'll sprinkle some salt on it there. I know I'm not going to eat it. I don't want to waste too much time on this.
Oh, man. Now you got me feeling bad. All right, I'll stop.
Don't stop. Tell the parents. If the parents continue to pay for it because they feel some sort of ethical need to,
then it's free range.
Maybe the best thing in the world, the best possible thing in the world could happen. Maybe they'll say to you, oh, you want it?
That's what I'm saying. We got to buy it for the kid anyway. We're parents. We have to buy hot food for our kid. We're not just going to send him the food with a cheese sandwich.
I ask the parents, and they say, all right, yeah, just take it. And I just sit next to him with the bib on, just eating his lunch, not even work.
Then you can take a sandwich. You can go for the sandwich. Right?
You got me feeling bad.
I will say that the dilemma is solved. It's wrong, but you're wrong. Go for it. Enjoy yourself. Have a bless.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess it's not. There are worse things you could be doing. You could be stealing his cheese sandwich too. So I guess wear that as a badge of honor that you're letting him eat his own food.
Most
of his own food.
When Fred last year was suggesting that I go for this job, he never mentioned the free lunch. I would have been in.
It's the good benefits. The benefits of working at a school. All right, I'm wrong. Sorry, guys. Forgive me, Bri. Forgive me.
I'm worried about you.
Like him. He's the person he's who you're looking to for penance.
I'm worried about you getting caught. That's my concern.
So am I.
You're going to lose your job if you don't straighten this out.
That's why I eat it in the girls' bathroom underneath the stall.
Crying. Just crying, shoving crust. Actually, he just goes around. He offers to clean up the plates off the tables, and he's taking kids' crust and shoving that in his mouth.
But the people who see you eating aren't going to be the people who tell the parents. It's the kid who's going to tell the parent. There's no hiding it from the kid. The kid knows that you're eating his food.
Let's point something out. That kid's not going to say anything to his parents if he knows what's good for him.
Exactly.
After Fred got through with him.
Between pizza and the cheese sandwich, I think I'd steal all his lunch.
Delicious.
Never tell anyone this.
I can't believe it's like a sexual abuse story of you stealing his food. Your mommy and daddy won't love you if you tell that I eat your pizza.
I'll die if I don't eat this.
You heard about all those scandals, those priests that were stealing food?
I'll die if I don't eat this, and I'll die if your parents know that I did it. So don't say another word. Awesome. It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with years. Place to be. You want to be a part? You can. 877-744-6405. We're on Skype. The clearest of all lines. Best in Show Radio. All that magic. Whatever. Hoo-ha and other stuff.
Whatever. Hoo-ha and other stuff.
Yeah. What am I supposed to say? Words? I can't be bothered. Those were words. They just don't have to make sense all the time.
Hullabaloo.
Yeah. What's all the hullabaloo about? I'll tell you a little bit of a hullabaloo. This week, I've actually alluded to in the past the fact that I sometimes have some brilliant thoughts that I want to turn into movies that always start from dreams, and this week I actually had another earth-shattering brilliant idea for a film out of a dream, And I was hoping that that maybe I would throw it out there and see if anything, see if anybody wants to take this, because we know that I'm lazy and I'm not going to do anything with it. So I'm just going to throw it out there and see if this new, my new thought, my new hot is my new, my movie plan that I have going here. Okay. So I woke up literally knowing this dream has to be so good. I actually woke up in bed from laughing. Actually laughing in my sleep.
Wow.
That my laughter woke me up.
That's never happened to
me. Okay.
That's crazy.
Tremendous, tremendous. Like, wow, this is brilliant. I got to write this down. And then I started writing down the notes of what I knew about this big comedy, suspense, thriller, action, dramedy, whatever it was that I was going to do. The thing was, I couldn't remember any idea of what the concept of what the movie was other than one fantastic scene of two guys in a urinal, I mean, in a bathroom stall, laughing hysterically as they were pissing up in the air over the top of the urinal, over the top of the bathroom stall, into the next guy's stall, splashing piss on each other's faces.
Okay, so two men in two different stalls peeing over the same wall and hitting each other with their streams.
Absolutely.
You are a vile human being.
This is the premise of my movie?
Harold and Kumar go to the bathroom?
See, this is why I need you there when I'm taking notes. It was amazing because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, oh man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to work this thing out? How am I going to make this thing into some sort of movie? And there really isn't a movie there. It's just piss.
We could shoot that scene with you and Keith real easily.
Yeah, but I'm looking for a movie out of it. I'm looking for the new hot. This is the big movie. And I'm just telling you, but the fact that the idea of dudes pissing on each other's faces over a wall to me woke me up laughing. I couldn't even help myself. I just wanted to throw that out.
And were the dudes enjoying themselves, or were they like a little taken aback?
They were just shocked by it. Laughing hysterically.
Now, would make it good if they went to the stall.
I don't think anything could make it good.
If they both went to the stall going to pee into the toilet bowl. But then they both came up with the idea simultaneously in their heads, like, maybe I should pee on this guy and I'll do it over the thing. And they both do it at the same time and they laugh because they both had the same idea.
Oh, see, you're putting too much structure to this and it sounds even stupider now. This is the dumbest movie idea ever.
You know, it's so funny. I woke up a couple nights ago, and it was that same thing. And I was thinking,
you had the same dream?
Yes.
Were you in the stall?
I was in the stall in the middle, and I woke up from these streams hitting my face. And I woke up, and I was thinking, wow, this is the greatest idea. This really is the greatest idea. Why didn't I think of this all along? And so I'm thinking of it to the point where I was about to get up and actually go to get pen and paper in the middle of the night to write this down, but I was so tired. So I kind of laid there for a second, and now I'm awake. Now I'm not even half asleep anymore, and I was like, all right, I'm thinking of this right now, so I'm definitely going to remember this. First of all, it's too good. It's too good. I'm going to call a meeting with, like, some movie studio tomorrow and tell them, right, this is the movie I'm going to write for you. So just give me an advance. And give me an advance now. And I'm thinking, like, I should write it down, some details. And I'm like, nah, this is good enough. And the next morning, I woke up, and it was 2 hours later, and I had no clue what it even was. Now, granted, I'm sure it was the biggest piece of crap ever. It was probably like
piss, not crap, piss.
It was probably a movie about a guy washing his hands saying, it sounds like two guys are pissing on a guy.
I find myself all the time, even when it comes to the show, doing stuff like that. Like, oh, man, I got a great idea for something I want to talk about for the show. Oh, I don't got to worry about writing it down. I'll definitely never forget that.
That's why I never have topics.
There you go. Lying. The theme of the show.
No, that's Fred's job.
Well, would you bring a pad and pen with you everywhere you go just to jot them down?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't do it ever. I just have that pad and pen, and it collects dust.
Yeah, it sits at your house.
Oh, my God.
I actually recently had a dream about a radio bit. And I woke up, after I woke up, I texted the idea to Keith because it's a bit for Keith. And I don't know if Keith ever took it seriously or if he's going to move forward on the bit, so I'm not sure if I can talk about it.
No, go ahead.
All right, you're not going to do it?
No, the bit sucks.
Because it's a crappy bit, basically, is what you're saying?
It was good. I this will get into a whole other thing. All right, go, tell it first.
I had an idea. Now I forget the details, but I had an idea for – do you remember the two particular details that I'm going to forget? Oh, it was – I had an idea that that he was going to pass along to 100K, an idea for him to do a movie review of 24 hours, except 100K thought it was 24 hours later. Like he was going to do
– it was 28 days.
28 days, that's it.
Reviewing the movie 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. But thinking it was 28 days later.
So he was going to review the movie with Sandra Bullock like he was anticipating it to be a zombie movie. And he saw a zombie movie even though he was watching the crippling story of Sandra Bullock coming to terms with her rehabilitation.
I liked the idea. Had I thought of something like that, I have thought of things like that in the past, I might have done it. But I have this issue where if somebody tells me something, and it's not like, oh, that wasn't my idea, I'm not doing it, for the reason of, because, like, I only do up my work, everybody. But I have this thing where if somebody tells me that I should do something that I'm going to get all the credit for, that I know I'm going to get all the credit for, I won't do it. Even it's not about making the show better or anything like that.
I drew specific lines that he came up with. That was great.
It's more about the fact that I feel like I would always have to be, every time, if it turned out really funny because the idea was so good and somebody said, oh, wow, that was great, I would have to say, yeah, that wasn't mine. Just so you know, that was Brian's idea. Brian came up with this.
So
you can't collaborate
with people?
I can collaborate. It was too specific. It wasn't really collaborating. If it was an original new idea and I was helping him with it and we were both working on it.
You were going to have to do the whole thing. I just gave you the concept. You were going to have to take it and make art with it.
I gave you a gem and you crapped all over it. I don't know what you did. 28 days later, but the scary movie. Get it?
You don't see potential in that at all?
Get it? No. It's brilliant.
Whatever, I dreamed it. I thought it's going to be good. He'll do it.
It's going to be. It's going to be tremendous. It'll be done. I'll do it right after the Meatloaf song. I'll get right to it.
When you will play that with Brian's Shine On You Crazy Time.
Right. At the Renaissance Festival.
I have a dream that Brian's dream never happened.
Oh, we should all be so lucky.
I never remember
so
my
many,
dreams.
There's so many other things, too, that, by the way, which I'm not even going to. There's so many other things that I'm listening back to old shows. All right, that's it. Next week. It's just like we make a big deal about things that we don't even remember. Next week, this is on. And then the following week, nothing.
Because we never wrote it down. If we had that pad and wrote things down, we would have did it the next week.
Everything I didn't, because Brian said it. It wasn't my original idea, so I didn't bother.
We got a lot of unfinished business to attend to. Mm-hmm.
One of these days. You know what? Add to the list, unfinished business. Unfinished business. That's the thing.
Isn't that ironic?
Seriously. Seriously. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. I've been working a lot of weekends lately. I've been spending a lot of time at my day job, the thing that pays me. And I work a lot of nights. And this past weekend, I went to go – I finished working probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I went to as I'm driving home, I like to listen to talk radio, no surprise. And my MP3 player was dead, which is where I listen to most of my my talk radio from. So I went to go put on one of the sports talk stations in New York City to put things on. And as I'm on the way home, I put on the sports talk station, and this guy starts talking. He's like, we have Andrew here with us. And Andrew, he's a schizophrenic. He's been an addict. He's had these problems his entire life, and he's here to talk to us about these things. And the thing is, I'm just like, holy crap, I'm listening to a sports talk station in New York. Who is the schizophrenic drug addict athlete that they have on right now that I'm so psyched about? I can't even believe this. This is a great thing to go. And we'll be back right after this break on Steppin' Out. Here on whatever radio network. And they didn't say the name of the sports station. Then I realized as it was going on, it was an infomercial that the local sports station had sold time on. But I was so caught up and psyched on the idea that this was happening. And then I realized this infomercial for Steppin' Out, it's a 12-steppers program where they talk to a different addict every week on their recovery process.
In various stages of their recovery, like from the first step to the 12th step?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've only listened to Andrew. Andrew, the schizophrenic who was an alcoholic and did this. And I was just like, wow. And, you know, like I said, immediately the first thing that caught me by it was like, oh, my God, this is – who is the sports star that this is doing? Because it was ESPN Radio that I was listening to. And ESPN Radio, apparently at 4 o'clock in the morning, they start selling infomercial time. So it wasn't actually a real sports star. I was like, all right. I'm just like, well, you know what? This could be cool. I could hear like some crazy sort of addict story. Or some crazy schizophrenic story. This is awesome. The idea of like Steppin' Out radio, You know, it was very exciting. And then the guy comes on, and it was just the usual, like, oh, I drank so much, I didn't even know things. And I blacked out. It was all the time. I didn't remember things. It was so
wow,
boring.
Wow.
How far into his recovery was he? Was he like an old timer?
Oh, like 17 years clean.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't even that it was wow. It was stereotypical, not real. Like, I blacked out. I couldn't even tell you some of the things I did. I have so few memories from that time in my life. I was so effed up. The guy might as well have been reading from a script. That it wasn't even a dude who had any sort of addiction issue. I hate his face.
Uh-huh. Should have called up and be like, let's talk about my piss addiction.
Oh, my God.
And what were they selling? Were they selling anything? It was just they were selling the program, the stepping up program.
And that was the idea. That was the thing. It seemed so cool. The idea of a program of just people talking about their recovery and stuff like that. It seemed interesting to me to listen to, and I don't know that it would be like such a commercially viable thing that it would you know, burn up the charts, that people would be going crazy here. But I was compelled at that point, especially at 4 o'clock in the morning, exhausted on the way home from work with no MP3 player working. I was like, all right, I want to check this out. But it turned out to be just crap, just usual crap.
Have you ever been to like a 12-step meeting or like an AA?
Indeed, I have.
Boring.
Yep.
Boring.
Boring
stereo,
crap. I'd go as far
yeah,
as to
exactly.
Say.
It's the worst possible.
You've been to one, Brian?
Yeah, they're horrifyingly bad. Just any like 12-step community that is either
Father Beaters Anonymous. You went to
whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or not Narcotic Anonymous, it's the same Patricide stories Anonymous over and over again, and it's exactly the stereotypical tripe crap that you think that you see on every stupid movie everywhere.
Well, what is so bad about it?
Like 28 days?
Yes. Later.
What is so bad about it? What do you think?
It's kind
they
of
just give you the BS.
It's kind of what he describes. It's a person stands up and goes through a laundry list of pretty much what has been reduced to it, because they've said it 5,000 times in a row now. Every week they'll
just
come and they'll say yeah, and every week they pretty it up with another fancy word that they throw in there, and it's somewhat robotic of just someone talking about, here's an example of one thing that happened to me, but then that resulted in this thing that changed me, and I've
only went to one meeting in my life, and that one meeting that I went to me seemed way more like dudes bragging than anything else. It wasn't even like it was one-upsmanship of some dude trying to tell me how effed up he got. Dude, I was so wrecked. I mean, obviously without the auto voice, but like that's essentially what it was. Like, we drank so much, and I woke up on the side of the road and didn't know how I got there.
Did you hear the phrase "moment of clarity"?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
that's
funny,
like
too,
the key phrase.
I've said in the past a lot on here that as far as the one-on-one counseling, I personally I think it's a good thing. But I always at odds with a counselor, because telling me, yeah, you need to go to these meetings. These meetings are really good for you. And about a year after not doing anything, I finally took her advice and I went to one of these NA meetings. And it was just suddenly, after a year of being clean, I was thrust back into this like, hey, man, so last night we were copping and this and that. And I was just like, yeah, this isn't necessarily what I really need to be hearing right now. Like, why do I want to be here? You know, it just wasn't like it wasn't, and I guess, I don't know, apparently it works for people, so.
It doesn't, actually. Statistically speaking, it works just as much as not taking any kind of
rehab. It's the brag
session.
It's too much.
You
know what?
Show off.
You shouldn't be grouping those people together and say, hey, you guys all exchange numbers. You know, because, like, what are they exchanging numbers for?
Exactly.
You know?
And if you're getting being thrust back into the life, almost, like, because people are at different stages of recovery. So if you're at 17 years and you're going to a person that's just been recovered 2 days, you're putting yourself at risk with that person with 2 days.
Who's high in the meetings?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I could see where you're coming from there. But would you go to NA meetings?
Yes.
Are they different from AA meetings? It's just the drug. It's just the same exact thing.
I couldn't compare.
Some people say that the AA meetings are more subdued type of, you know, like
NA meetings are a little bit more party.
NA meetings, yeah.
Every
yeah, NA meetings,
there's more streamers, confetti fall from the ceiling.
There's music.
Less champagne at AA meetings, though.
Where do the courts send you? NA meetings or AA meetings?
The courts can't send you to any because they're anonymous. The courts can suggest you go. The courts can never prove that you actually went. They can only send you to actual sponsored rehabilitation programs.
And if you claim that you've been going to something like that, I think you can get some sort of leniency if you say that you have, but there's no way to prove it.
There's no way to prove
anonymous.
It. It's yeah, exactly.
What would you go to rehab for, Chris? Just on your own accord?
I didn't go to rehab.
I mean,
I went to one AA meeting when I was younger and considering quitting drinking.
Okay, so it was
and
on
he
your
doesn't
own.
Drink now.
Yeah, I've fought.
Add that to your statistics.
So it works. Yeah. There you go.
I've fought with my alcoholism for a long time. There's a lot of times I wanted.
You
to
fight quit. With your mom. You fight with your alcoholism.
Yeah, but I mean, like I tried to quit a bunch.
Yeah,
of
but his
times.
Mom loses.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm drinking Diet Cokes right now.
Hey, that's round two.
Come on, it's at least the ninth round. Come
we got a left out ahead of you, man.
Don't get me wrong. I'll say it's a 15-round fight, but give me at least round nine. I've at least made it through the better part of it. I haven't gotten to the bad luck round yet.
And, Brian, why'd you go to AA?
My entire family are 12-steppers.
It's in the blood?
Yes, as a matter of fact, some people do suggest that it is genetic. But, yeah, they're... Narcotics Anonymous.
You guys would go together, like as a
well,
family
they,
function.
If you're effed up enough that you've been in and out so much, they actually do have.
That's why he doesn't take their calls. No, mom, I stopped doing blow. I don't need to go to an NA meeting with you.
They actually do have groups that are for family members of like narcotics addicts. Mm-hmm. So or, you know, people who are in NA will have their parents gather in a very similar session and get into a room and talk about the experiences that they had with their children and maybe even on their own. And some of that will result in like very similar stuff.
Isn't that the Anons, like Al-Qanon and Narc-Anon? Isn't that the
ones? Aren't they the Scientology ones?
I had no idea Scientology had anything to do with it.
And I don't know about.
I thought that was the ones that were family based as opposed to just.
I thought the Anons were Scientology based.
Well, I mean, and like 12-stepping, just the whole kind of philosophy. It starts with AA, and if anyone in your family goes to that, the minute any of, like, you know, my dad goes to AA or would be in AA, and the minute, like, they catch one of my brothers smoking pot or something, that's it. He's got to go to some sort of 12-step program.
Was that considered college in your family, if you went there?
That is it. School. They do consider it their alma mater. It's every member of the family, they consider that the alma mater. Awesome. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Seriously, guys, special thanks to all of you for hanging out with us for these. I guess we made it more than 2 hours and 47 minutes. Did anybody call? Who called? Our buddy Monty? Jay Miller? I think that's it, right?
That's it.
Well, special thanks to all of you for hanging out with us. Special thanks to Slugs. Special thanks to Piss Talk and chat rooms. Special thanks to... Thanks. We'll see you guys next week. See you for the DJ Newstyle Show next Tuesday, 9 p.m. here on Heroes Talk. That's it. Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace. Line was so good, and I let it go and didn't see it. Keith Fu in the Heroes Talk chat room. The Scientologist one? That's Xeno Anon that you missed.
That's why I was laughing. As
it's so good.
The show.
So good.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.